afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Monday afternoon. Hope everybody's doing well. Obviously, an absolutely chaotic and insane weekend here in America. We'll comment on all of it. We'll walk you through what exactly has happened, where we stand now. The latest is that, well, we'll get into it with the Daily Dispatch. We'll get into it with the Daily Dispatch, and we'll find out what the latest is and how much nothing the Trump administration plans on doing about it. Well, let's begin today as we do every day with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Monday, the 26th of January, 2026. Tim Walz calls Trump, agrees to work with deportation agenda following pushback. On Monday, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz caved to President Donald Trump's deportation agenda. It now appears the failed Democrat vice presidential candidate will be surrendering the criminal aliens in his state that he's been harboring following a phone call with the president. We will again touch on this a little bit more. It's probably not a coincidence that this happened immediately after the Signal chats were leaked, showing that basically everybody in Tim Walz's government was involved with the planning and organization of these riots. If justice is to be found, or if just we still have a touchstone on reality, this story should become one of the biggest stories in the century. Signal debacle backfires into organized crime. It's a special report from John Bowne we'll go to in the next segment. Tim Walz is emboldened by what amounts to organized crime with badges and budgets. Cam Higby's infiltration of Signal groups blew the lid off scandal in Minnesota. Signal chats are buzzing with anti-ICE operatives and local police are complicit, cooperative even, with real-time access to national databases for tracking license plates. Courtesy of law enforcement insiders, shift changes are being leaked from within departments. So you have a Signal chat that has, again, we'll get into it, but it's basically everybody in the Walz government is actively cooperating with and actually directing the rioters as to where to go. And they're using not just government time and government resources, but access to government databases to find out who their enemies are. Really, next level Civil War stuff. Will anything be done about it? Meanwhile, illegal immigrant arrested in Georgia after allegedly assaulting 11-year-old girl in her home, forced younger sister to watch attack. While the mainstream media breathlessly comes to the defense of those trying to thwart efforts to protect American citizens from violent illegals, they remain largely silent on the victims of illegal crime. Last week, the legacy media and liberal members of Congress made false claims about a viral case in Minnesota alleging that ICE targeted a 5-year-old child. In reality, the child was abandoned by his father, an illegal alien, while the father fled arrest. The story was plastered all over the MSM and pushed by Democrat politicians ad nauseum. Yet the legacy media and Democrats have been largely silent when a vulnerable American child is the victim of an illegal. The Statesboro Herald reported that in Bullock County, the Bullock County Sheriff's Office announced the arrest of Kenneth Morano Guzman, 26, on January 15th for allegedly invading a family's home on January 12th and raping an 11-year-old girl and holding her and her 10-year-old sister at knife point. So these are the people that everybody in Minneapolis is infuriated they're being arrested. These types of crimes that they're responsible for. As well as this one. What religion are you? Muslim stabs man for being Christian before being shot dead for attacking police. A Muslim man in Washington State reportedly asked Eddie Nitsch what religion he was and immediately began stabbing him with a knife when he revealed he was a Christian on Sunday. The attacker stabbed both the Christian man and his pet dog, putting the victim in serious condition at a nearby hospital and resulting in the dog getting emergency surgery. Just yet another horrific act of diversity. Our greatest strength. Finally, remains of the last Israeli hostages returned. Trump's Gaza peace plan moves to phase two. President Donald Trump, who orchestrated the Gaza peace plan, announced on Monday that the remains of the final Israeli hostage has been returned, accomplishing a key objective of Trump's multi-point plan to end hostilities between Israel and its neighbors. More on that as well as they are making their move and finalizing their annexation of the West Bank by killing or expelling all of the Palestinians that live where Jesus was born, our greatest allies. Diversity, our greatest strength. Israel, our greatest ally. The things killing us. and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies? The delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact. Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health. With Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.
First and we can last. Keep your rifle by your side. Singing, oh Lord, this earth was made for us. Singing, oh Lord, this sinful life just ain't enough. So we'll take a stand, 'cause we must protect our land. Keep your rifle by your side.
They'll come day and they'll come night. Have our children in their sight, but if they don't have faith, their eyes are blind.
They can scream and they can shout, but they can never smoke us out. Keep your rifle by your side. Singing, oh Lord, this earth was made for us. Singing, oh Lord, this sinful life just ain't enough. When we hear the voice, we know we have. Keep your rifle by your side. They'll have bombs and they'll have tanks, 'cause they've got money in their banks. But we won't fall as long as we can fight.
They'll go on to reach their hate, but they won't get past the gate.
Keep your rifle by your side. Singing, oh Lord, this earth.
Compilation for you there, put together just some of the last week or so of riots in Minneapolis, along with an accompanying song reminding you we are in fact in some sort of weird civil war where only one side is fighting. And it truly is bizarre. How many times have you seen images of rioters, protesters standing outside of a ICE facility with a line of ICE officers standing there? And all of the protesters are sitting there going, what are you going to do? You'll come out. Quit hiding back there. Come out here and fight. Sprinkled in with, of course, insults and curse words. And then eventually, at some point, usually like on the hour, the Border Patrol just goes, all right, let's do this. Pop, pop, flashbangs, tear gas, run out, grab a couple people, just stomp a couple people. Like, it really is just the image of the chihuahua barking and snarling and snapping at the pit bull that's on a chain. That's where we're at. These delusional people literally threatening and challenging people who they could never stand up against, but feeling empowered by the delusion that informs their actions. It is crazy. It really is. But it's not unprecedented. It's not exactly like this is some sort of new, you know, epic in human history that we haven't seen this before. We've actually seen this a couple times. And I want to go to a video here, and we're going to take your calls in the third hour. I plan to cover everything that's happened over the weekend in Minneapolis, including the shooting, of course, of the nurse with the gun. We'll investigate that a little. I mean, but it's all pretty simple. There's not too much really to get into. It's not all that complicated. We are going to be spending a lot of time on the Signal chat today, but the people in Minnesota, the government in Minnesota, is utterly and completely corrupt, depends entirely on a flow of illegal immigration and the scam money that they funnel to their political activism. And they're in a state of insurrection, and the federal government is refusing to put it down. Like, it's really not that complicated at all. This is nothing new. We've seen this over and over again. And it really does feel like the Republicans are just in on it and are just happy to allow this feedback loop to continue. And that is a retarded, to the point of being suicidal, point of view. So I want to go to a video here. And as I was watching Alex Jones and Sam Tripoli in the last couple hours on the Alex Jones Show, and then Sam taking over in the last hour, they, of course, talking a lot about history and keep referring to what we're experiencing now as a Bolshevik revolution. And I want you to know that this isn't hyperbole. This isn't, you know, just something where it's like, oh, you know, we're going to pay for kids' lunches at school. And people are like, the communists at it again. What I'm describing is a reign of terror. What I'm describing is the thing that happened in the French Revolution and then the Russian Revolution and probably would have happened in the German false revolution, the revolution of 1918, that didn't succeed because you had like one or two German army commanders that without orders just decided to march on the protesters. But every time the same thing happens, you have infiltrators, foreigners, a lot of times getting into positions of power, using their positions in academia and in the media to create unrest, create, you know, frustration with the ruling order. And hell, some of the frustration is real. Some of it is justified, but it's weaponized and it's used to create, you know, riotous conditions. And then the activity of the ruling power, the actual authority that's being overthrown, they basically have their hands tied by a bunch of bureaucratic restrictions, a bunch of, well, do we really want to do this? And gee, it may look bad if you really crack down on this right now. And in history, either the powers that be, the, you know, legitimate authorities allow themselves to have their hands tied, in which case you go through a communist revolution and hundreds of millions of people potentially die, or you have individuals, and it is almost always on an individual basis, stand up against the unrest, stand up against the overthrow of the authorities by force. This is what happened in Germany in 1918. You actually had, you know, commanders of army barracks just decide, hey, these communists have taken over a city hall. Screw that. Let's go get them. And they just go and they just flush them out and kill the ones who resist. That's how you stop a communist revolution. It's the only way. It's what Franco did too. Every single time this happened. Same thing happened in Italy, rise of Mussolini. I mean, it's just like a fact of reality at this point. Only the communists who carry out these revolutions, same people, same ideology that's happening right now, have learned through these, you know, iterative revolutions. And now they have made sure to have basically full command of the lawful authority before they even launch the revolution. And that's essentially where we're at. So again, time and time again, this has happened. So I want to go back now. I want to revisit 1917 and the communist revolution that overthrew Russia, because we're in a very similar situation now, like a shockingly similar situation. And part of it is that the ruling elite of Russia in 1916 and before weren't exactly the nicest people. You know, there were things to complain about and people did complain. And I feel like we're in that same situation now, where even now we have like libertarians and you know, people on the right, strangely all non-Christians. I've noticed this. There's like a divide on right-wing conservatives. If people are like outspokenly and openly Christian, they're in favor of just like cracking down on the riots. But people who are atheists aren't. It's very strange. It's kind of interesting. I just noticed this. And there are people I like. I'm not even criticizing, like Dave Smith, Clint Russell, both atheist libertarians, both kind of getting cold feet about the whole ICE thing because some guy decided to commit suicide by cop. Whereas you got people like Matt Walsh, people with Daily Wire just being like, what the hell? No, this is a revolution. We need to crush it. I don't know what that, you know, indicates, but regardless, you've got people that are like, well, you know, the system's kind of messed up now. And, oh, you think that the feds are good now just because they're going after illegal immigrants? It's like, guys, I know the Fed is not great. I know the United States government has been taken over by evil to a very large degree. But I also know what happens next. And I feel like if this was Imperial Russia, I'd be saying exactly the same thing. This is Matt Walsh. This ICE situation is really complex. My take is more nuanced. I want our immigration laws to be enforced, but I just want them to do it without using any force and without anyone ever getting hurt and without anything sad or upsetting happening ever. And if the people we're trying to deport don't want to be deported, or if liberal activists don't want us to deport them, then obviously in that case we shouldn't do it. But I'm totally a conservative on the issue, unless people get really mad at me, and then never mind. Please don't yell at me. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Yeah, we'll get into the psychology behind this, but I really do just want to go to this video. This is clip number 11. This is an idealistic Russian describing the grim realities of revolution. It's a diary of a man named Pitarim Sorokin. He was there in Russia watching the revolution unfold in real time. He was a moderate, didn't really land on either side, but just observed what happened. And this whole video is about 23 minutes, and I went into it to be like, oh, I'm going to cut out some pertinent spots, and the whole thing is pertinent. So we'll just start at the top, and I'll interrupt and interject. But you're not going to need me to. It's obvious the parallels that we're seeing here, and it's kind of haunting hearing this guy talk about the French Revolution and saying, "Gee, it looks like we're sort of going through that same thing." Then here I am, a century later, looking at the Russian Revolution, going, "Gee, it sure looks like we're going through the same thing." History rhymes, right? It repeats itself in certain ways. And the cool thing about human beings is we have the ability to project into the future possible outcomes and then change our behavior to get the outcome that we want. So right now, we, like the Russians in 1917, are on the precipice of a bloody and terrible revolution. And we can choose to go an alternative route and not allow the reign of terror to begin, or we can fall into the same pattern that the French took during the revolution or the Russians took during that revolution. And we can allow our entire system to be taken over by literal mutants, psychopath, criminal scum. So I guess that's our choice we have to make. Let's go to clip 11 now. Here is an eyewitness to the Russian Revolution about what it looked like in the few days preceding it. Let's watch. Leaves from a Russian diary and 30 years after Pitarim.
Keeping
a
diary
Sorokin.
Is a childish habit, but this childish habit may now be worthwhile, even to a serious man. It is clear we are now entering the storm of revolution. At a meeting yesterday of deputies, politicians, scholars, and writers, even the most conservative man talked about the coming revolution as a certainty. Counts and barons, landlords and businessmen all applauded scathing criticisms of the government and acclaimed the approaching revolution. These men, weary, effeminized, accustomed to lives of comfort, calling for revolution, presented a curious spectacle. Like heedless children, they manifested a curiosity and a joy in meeting such an interesting development. I had a vision of the French ruling classes before the 18th century revolution. Like these Russians, their emasculated aristocracy too greeted the storm with laughter, not reflecting that it might rob them of their property and even of their lives.
All right, we can pause right there. From the top, here we are 100 years later, looking back at a revolution that descended into bloody terror, listening to a diary of a man who is reflecting on a revolution 100 years earlier that descended into bloody pogroms, not knowing or knowing but not being able to stop the fact that they were engaged in that same feedback loop, that they were starting their journey down the same slope into hell. And it just feels like we're watching some sort of bizarro time mirror. It's like a feminized leadership not taking the threat seriously, thinking, well, there are some legitimate concerns they have, though, and we should, you know, hear them out. Not understanding that they were literally loading the gun that would be used against them. Can we learn from history? Do we have the ability? The people in Russia failed to. And 100 million of them paid the price. And they still haven't fully recovered. And that was with a continent of Europe and America being resolutely arrayed against them and fighting against them economically and militarily across the entire world. What is it going to look like if the last bastion of freedom, America, goes down this route? Is there any relief? It took 70, 80 years for the USSR to eventually collapse under the weight of its own stupidity. And that was, again, with half the world arrayed against it. What happens if they get a hold of America? Who stands up for us? Nobody. All right, back to the video.
Do you think that the guillotine will be necessary for us also in the near future? Asked one of my students in the Workers' University of Petrograd. I do not know, I replied, but I am certain that if you contemplate the guillotine for your enemies, the same guillotine will cut off your head a little later. The guillotine always kills first the well-fed, but later on it gets to the poor also. Do not forget this. It may be useful to you if revolution really comes. Street demonstrations of poor women and children demanding bread and herrings, eternal voice of all revolutions, had previously led to the looting of one or two shops, but today the demonstration became larger and noisier. The rioters today stopped tram cars, turning over some of them, plundering a good many shops and even attacking policemen. Many workmen have joined the women and a general strike and great excitement resulted. After the wrecking of the trams, something more important may next be overthrown. The Tsar's throne, for instance.
All right, so let's pause it. So again, this was written before the revolution had even really kicked off, right? He's saying if there is going to be a revolution, or people think that there's going to be a revolution, he was already in a revolution. That's the things he needed to understand and we need to understand. If you're at the point where they're, you know, knocking over tram cars, attacking police, and tearing down statues, again, symbols in every single revolution that we are also living through, it means you're already in it. So all of these diary entries saying, if revolution comes, guess what, buddy? You're already ankle deep and the water's rising. Okay, that's where we are at this point. Do you understand? And of course, the absurdity of America, of the American Revolution, as it's the second revolution, the communist revolution they're trying to put us through right now, Bolshevik Revolution 2.0, is at least the Bolsheviks were like, we just want bread and fish. Can you just give us some dried herring so we don't die? And it's like, all right, a little bit better of a complaint than illegal immigrants that we broke the law to bring in here are being expelled. So, you know, a little, you know, we got some similarities, also some differences. Nobody in America is begging for milk and herrings, right? So, but, you know, they also have suffered under a century of poison and destroying our bodies and minds. So, you know, maybe the Russians were a little bit better off in a lot of ways, too. Let's go back to the video now.
If future historians look for the group that began the Russian Revolution, let him not create any involved theory. The Russian Revolution was begun by hungry women and children demanding bread and herrings. Only later did they, together with workmen and politicians, become ambitious to wreck that mighty edifice, the Russian autocracy. It goes steadily on. Yesterday, 3 men and 1 woman were killed. Today, more. The orderly routine of life is broken. Shops and offices are closed. In the university, instead of lectures, political meetings are held. Newspapers appear irregularly. Revolution has pushed 1 foot over the threshold of my country. Today, the same. Crowds on the Nevsky Prospect are larger. The police are idle and irresolute. One hears that even the Cossacks have refused to disperse the crowds. This means that the government is helpless and their machine broken. Rioters have begun to kill policemen. The Pavlovsky Regiment is in revolt. We are told that the Minister of the Interior is recruiting special squads of police and is equipping them with machine guns to be placed on rooftops for merciless suppression of demonstrations. This half-mad paralytic can do...
We've got similarities and differences here. Let's pause it again. Similarities, obviously, starting with, you know, real... Although, again, ours is a little bit different, because at least there, they start with real concerns. We want herring and fish, you know, fish and bread, please. And it's like, okay. That, you know, maybe at that point, you could have, like, put a damper on the whole thing by just, like, giving them food. Maybe that would have been a solution. Now, maybe there wasn't food to give them, in which case, you're sort of out of luck. But then the real problem comes when a legitimate concern, like basic hunger, gets joined up by politicians and activists and union leaders who see this as an opportunity to, you know, foment outrage, not because they actually care about the people who are hungry, but because they want to use that hunger as a benefit to their ideology. Again, it's different here because people protesting in America are very well fed, just very stupid. What they're protesting against is literally an invasion of foreigners and rapists and murderers being arrested. Complete and utter nonsense. But what do you see the response from the police are? Total inaction? Even the Cossacks, you know, wouldn't do anything about it. You have entire battalions defecting basically to the side of the rioters. And we are in this process. We have already started it. 1 foot in the revolution. How do you crack down on it? How do you deal with this? Now, again, the Russians thought, well, we'll just put machine guns and just, you know, murder all the people. Well, that didn't really work. And nobody in America is even suggesting that. Although I'm certain fantasizing about it quite a bit. Not that I think it's a right thing to do. Just a fun thing. Just do what would have been fun, I think. These people. But you can't just crush this type of thing out of sheer brute force. But you can identify the leaders. You can identify the training seminars. You could go through, like, if you were the Russian aristocracy, what would you do differently? I'd probably give them the food and fish, first off. Seems like a reasonable request, personally. Now, what the people in America today are requesting is not reasonable. It's completely insane. And they can't be given what they want. What they want is the literal dilution of our entire federal government. No, it's just not going to happen. So we can't do that. You also can't mount a machine gun on the corner and murder everybody. But certainly you don't allow this snowball to continue to roll. You don't allow the universities to continue to be used as lecture halls, radicalizing all of the people that are now making a job out of resisting you. Well, let's go back for the final minute here.
The end is very near, or it is only the beginning. This video has been kindly supported.
All right,
we're done.
I actually should shout out, I was trying to find what the, I think it's Voices from the Past, I believe is the name of that, YouTube channel. I did want to credit them. Voices of the Past. So again, you can, we've already done it where we looked into, you know, what was happening with the October Revolution, 1918 in Germany. And luckily it was prevented by a bunch of, again, random battalion leaders just deciding on their own to go shut down the demonstrations, and that probably saved Germany from becoming communist down the line. But when I look at what's going on now, I don't see, you know, a divided populace with a bunch of people in power holding the line. I see something more like the 1917 Russian Revolution, and that's very troubling.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, This was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in. In people who can't make it, it can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there. The shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Minneapolis, once again, becomes the focus of our attention as the ongoing insurrection takes on new and incredible dimensions. But don't worry, folks. I mean, we know Tim Walz, Jacob Frey, Keith Ellison, they were all caught pretty much with their hand in their cookie jar with the largest examples of fraud against the American government ever recorded happening, not just under their watch, but with their active participation in some cases. And they've been in a state of insurrection for the last couple of months now at this point. But don't worry, folks. The Trump administration is taking it seriously. They're not going to just let this happen with their hands tied behind their back. They're not just going to lay down while Tim Walz and his criminal buddies start a second American Civil War just to cover up their ridiculous fraud, okay? Pam Bondi has sent a letter. Let's go to clip number 9.
suicide, rape, homicide, manslaughter. That's who they're trying to protect in Minnesota. I do not understand these people. We sent Governor Walz a very strong letter today. We had been working on this letter. We got it out saying that he better support President Trump. He better support the men and women in law enforcement, because if he doesn't, we are. And that's what we're doing right now.
Were there any consequences in this letter?
Well, we'll see. This is fluid. Let's see how Governor Walz responds. Let's see what he does based on this, based on what's happening right now. But this administration is going to support the citizens. We're going to support our great men and women in law enforcement.
Yes, exactly. Just like I support the Houston Texans, right? Sort of in theory. It's kind of like, yeah, I want them to do well. That's, you know, I support them. I don't help them in any way. I don't do anything for them. But like, sure, in sort of a theoretical way, my heart is with them. And that's sort of the support that the Trump administration is talking about. What more could you possibly need? Like, at this point, I mean, we really don't even need to rehash it over and over. I don't need to do it every single day. But it's a persistent issue. I mean, it's the same thing that we've been dealing with for the last little while here. It's just insane that this is going on. And that the people who are doing it in the positions of authority in Minneapolis are caught on a signal chat organizing this stuff, the same signal chat that allegedly both of the people who died fighting ICE were in, being instructed where to go, being trained to put their bodies in harm's way to try to de-arrest activists or basically just fighting ICE. I'm incapable of expressing the disappointment I feel in the Trump administration. The English language does not have words for it. I think maybe if you know some of the tapes that they used, you know, like in Waco, they kept everybody awake by playing audio recordings of like rabbits being tortured. You can look that sound up. That's basically what my soul sounds like right now when I think about the Trump administration. And how thoroughly they are losing our last opportunity to save this country, and how they're seemingly doing it on purpose. And at this point, it's clear they just have no idea what they're doing, or they really are in on it. I really don't know. But like Trump writes this letter yesterday where he's like, here are my demands to Tim Walz. Turn over all of the illegal alien criminals and help ICE. It's like, does anybody even care about ICE at this point? Like, it's so much bigger than arresting illegal aliens at this point. What are we talking about? You have a governor, a mayor, an attorney general of a state, all of their underlings engaged in an active insurrection against the lawful authority in this country. And you're telling them it'll all go away if they just do what they should have been doing the entire time. Okay, just obey the law as you're obliged to do, that you took your oath doing, and we'll let all of this stuff go away. And of course, the insane thing is that they're not going to take that offer. They don't care. I mean, it's just pathetic. Honestly, it's just pathetic and sad and cowardly. I think Trump might just be a coward. The end of the day. And like a lot of people have said this in a lot of different ways. I think this post by Orrin McIntyre sums it up, and it just, you know, again, you can read people saying this in one sentence, people saying it in multiple pages. But if you don't understand this core concept, you don't understand what world we're in. You don't understand the battle that we're fighting. This is what Orrin McIntyre says. People seem not to understand the stakes, so let me help you out. We already had tens of millions of illegals, and Biden let in at least 8 million more in 4 years. They have, the left have openly declared their intention to replace the population and make elections irrelevant. Redistricting, demographic transformation, judicial capture, the left will own every lever necessary to control, quote, democracy in perpetuity. Don't get me started on what they'll do to you personally once in power. They understand the stakes and are willing to kill and die for this. If the GOP loses the midterms, the Dems will lock them in eternal impeachment proceedings and investigations. This is it. This is the battle. This is the last chance to save the country before the only remaining options are extreme. Whatever violence you're seeing now is a Care Bears episode compared to what will follow if we don't win. These are times that try men's souls and sunshine patriots have gone away. Lock in. There are no other options. And you can dislike that. You can dislike the rain. You still got to carry an umbrella, right? You can dislike that this is the position that we're in. You could wish that we could just really convince the left to think about it for once. And they'll all decide, you know, we are acting silly, aren't we? I guess they were right about the Second Amendment and the First Amendment. Let's stop being insane jackass. Like, no, it's just, that's never going to happen. You just have to defeat these people. Meanwhile, apparently Trump and Ted Cruz are like cursing at each other because Ted Cruz is trying desperately to get more H-1B visas for India. And it's just like, can we do anything to put a stop to this? This is a literal overthrow of our entire country. We are going into a communist revolution, and the people with the authority to stop it are cowards. They seem to be utter cowards. So this is what happened today. DC Drano says, what a coincidence that Tim Walz called President Trump to work together on the riots only after the Signalgate chats were exposed. The rope is tightening on Minnesota fraud. Oh, is it? Is it tightening? Great. Is it around anybody's neck? Because otherwise, it's just tightening to no end. Well, the rope is tightening. Okay. Does it have anybody inside of the loop that is tightening? Or is it just sort of in a vague way, in a theoretical way, tightening? Nothing's happening. There's nothing to wait for. What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? What more could you possibly need? I'll go to the John Bowne report here about the Signalgate controversy, the scandal, the new Signalgate, not the Signalgate where Israel is trying to outpeach Hegseth to send us to war to Iran. The new Signalgate where the local politicians, operatives, attorney generals, everybody in Minnesota is engaged in an open insurrection against the federal government. Here's what Donald Trump posted today. Governor Tim Walz called me with the request to work together with respect to Minnesota. It was a very good call, and we actually seem to be on a similar wavelength. I told Governor Walz that I would have Tom Homan call him and that what we are looking for are any and all criminals that they have in their possession. The governor very respectfully understood that, and I will be speaking to him in the near future. He was happy that Tom Homan was going to Minnesota, and so am I. We've had such tremendous success in Washington, D.C., Memphis, Tennessee, and New Orleans, Louisiana, and virtually every other place that we've touched, and even in Minnesota. Crime is way down, but both Governor Walz and I want to make it better. Donald J. Trump. Okay, well, Governor Walz just called you Hitler, and then an insane activist bit off a federal officer's finger during a fight. So maybe less exclamation points next time, young lady. I talked to Tim Walz, and he's really excited about having Tom Homan come. We agree. He also thinks that illegal immigrants need to go away. It's like, what I want to see is Donald Trump post a pixelated picture of the American flag as news reports start rolling in about the raid on Tim Walz and how he has been whisked off to parts unknown. He's being held in a detention center that's not on any official forms. Like, I want Trump to treat the un-American insurrectionists with just a fraction of the fervor, the hate, the malice that he feels for like generals in Iran or the president of Venezuela. Why he doesn't? I don't know. Nobody can answer that. Nobody knows. Let's go to that special report. This is John Bowne put together a report for the Signal story, which again, any other time period, we had a real country, if we had a real media. By the way, no mainstream media outlet has even reported on this yet. Okay. If you search Signalgate right now, Pete Hegseth's stuff still comes up. The New York Times, the Washington Post. Despite the fact that an independent reporter found incontrovertible proof that this insurrection activity that has already left at least two people dead is being organized by the local government. Let's watch.
Creating a log of evidence for the future prosecution of ICE agents and officials responsible for this.
Tim Walz is emboldened by what amounts to organized crime with badges and budgets.
We've got a couple groups on the app Signal that we would love for you to join. Whether or not you want to be a part of the resistance network, I fully understand that you may not be comfortable with that, but if you see any suspicious vehicles, any traffic, if you know of anybody that is being targeted, that's being detained, we have resources immediately available.
Independent journalists and undercover ops have cracked open encrypted Signal chats used by radical left networks to dox, stalk, harass, and straight up impede federal ICE agents during the ongoing immigration enforcement chaos in Minneapolis and St. Paul. Cam Higby's infiltration of these groups blew the lid off.
This is John 612, that we are at Grand and Lake. We're heading toward Irving. We can try and join you.
Signal chats are buzzing with anti-ICE operatives, and local police are complicit, cooperative even, with real-time access to national databases for tracing license plates courtesy of law enforcement insiders, as well as shift changes leaked from within departments.
And quit referring to these people as law enforcement. They are not law enforcement. We have law enforcement who do an incredible job.
Anita Smithson, dispatcher in the Ice Watch chats, Minnesota State Senate candidate, BLM supporter, Indivisible Minnesota member, and a big Walz Ilhan Omar backer. She is allegedly using her U.S. bank risk management job for potential access to license plate databases to aid doxing. The chats coordinate rapid response ambushes on federal officers, share real-time locations and personal info, all while tying directly into state-level political operatives.
We just got this message, and it says, we know that you're in Minneapolis, you're with O'Keefe and his crew of Nazis, you're in a white Ford license plate, they actually wrote the license plate down from Florida, you have 1 hour to leave or you're dead.
Peggy Flanagan, Minnesota Lieutenant Governor, allegedly exposed as Flan or Flan Southside in the chats.
Show up and use your voice. Put your body on the line. Put your body on the line.
Amanda Kohler, Tim Walz campaign strategist and protest organizer, identified as a top administrator in the MN Ice Watch Signal Group, training rioters in tactics like salute, a strategy straight out of the Ice Watch playbook for obstructing agents.
I want to move my car! I am disabled! I have a brain injury!
Kohler's LinkedIn brags about her ties to Monarca, an Ice Watch offshoot listed as a resource on the Minnesota government website under the Office of Ombudsperson for Families, no less. John Otte, media press figure allegedly participating in the Signal groups, highlights coordination between activists and journalists to shape narratives around the protests and incidents.
We're not ICE. Why are you guys following us?
We're following them because they were following us.
Well, you look suspicious as
speculative ties at this point keep swirling around Governor Tim Walz himself as the alias Boogie. Broader allegations point to dozens more state house senate representatives, gang members, and even media embeds in these networks. This isn't some fringe chat. It's allegedly a coordinated effort blending government insiders, campaign staff, Antifa elements, and media to obstruct federal operations. These claims suggest state level involvement in protest networks. These are not organic protests. They are a desperate, highly coordinated, state-level weaponized resistance protecting massive fraud.
Over 80% of the Somalia households receive some form of public assistance. Many of them are on welfare. So your first question is, if they're on welfare, how are they getting millions of dollars to send back to the homeland? Number one. Number two, if they're on welfare, why do they need childcare? They're not working outside of the home. Why would there be this number of Somalia childcare centers?
If the feds move, we're looking at sedition level fallout that could collapse the Minnesota DFL or Democratic Farmer Labor Party machine overnight. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Make sure to find and share that video at band.video and on X. It's shared, of course, on John Bound's account as well as at Real Alex Jones and at Real InfoWars. Please do be following us. And that's just, I mean, to try to put everything that's happened so far into a single report, John Bound does an amazing job. But it's almost like if you're not already following this, like, how do you explain everything that's happening? You know, they show, shows a clip of the guy, you know, following the other person. But like that alone, it's worth an hour explaining, like, what the hell is going on? How do you have people who are protesting ICE for being tyrannical driving around and demanding that innocent people that they simply, you know, suspect of doing things, demand that they, you know, show ID and prove that they're not ICE? I mean, the quote unquote protesters have literally violated more civil rights than ICE has at this point. That's not even an exaggeration. So, of course, basically everybody in the Minnesota government was in on this. New York Post actually has a story about it. The far left network that helped put Alex Priddy in harm's way, the man who was shot by ICE. And we haven't gotten a ton of details about it. Obviously, there are a bunch of angles in the video. I think what happened was he had that gun that goes off by itself, and that SIG 320 or whatever it is. And like, people have looked into it. That's what it looks like to me, is the one officer disarmed him, and then maybe that gun just went off without the trigger being pulled, which is a, you know, regular problem. Which also means that this Alex Priddy guy probably didn't know what he was doing with guns. Why would you buy that one? But here's what the article says. The skirmish that led to Saturday's fatal shooting of an agitator by Border Patrol agents in Minneapolis and the response that followed were driven by a complex network of far-left organizations with a wide range of causes. A coordinated web of encrypted chats, street alerts, and tracking of ICE abductors in a sophisticated database shows that agitators were already mobilized at the scene where 37-year-old Alex Priddy was killed minutes before any shots were fired. ICE and Border Patrol agents were there to arrest an illegal immigrant criminal, and Priddy and others were there outside a donut shop to meet them as part of a strategic pattern of organized interference with law enforcement operations. Now, I know you know all of this. Like, if you're watching this show, you probably know all of this already. But let's make one thing perfectly, undeniably clear. What I just described was not, in any way and by any definition, a protest. Do you understand that? These are not protests. Nothing that's happening in Minneapolis is a protest. You know, words have definitions. Protest is free speech. Protest is when you go somewhere and you protest. You make your position known. The minute that your activity becomes interfering with law enforcement, it is not a protest anymore. It's just not. And it's not really a riot either. It's something else entirely. It's just criminal activity. Let me read it again. ICE and Border Patrol agents were going to arrest an illegal alien. An illegal immigrant criminal, been tried and convicted for, you know, pretty heinous crimes. But these people were there already set up, you know, probably got alerts from inside ICE to be there before ICE even arrived, to meet them as part of a strategic pattern of organized interference with law enforcement operations. Okay, I don't know if I need to tell you this. The First Amendment does not say that the people of America have an inalienable right to go fight the cops, to go interfere with lawful activity. You have a right to protest. This is not this is something else entirely. And it's not even, you're not even pretending to be protesters. So we don't have to treat this like it's a protest. Do you understand? It's literally not a protest. I wish we could get that into our heads. that the minute you go to interfere with law enforcement activity, you abandon all First Amendment protection because that's not what you're doing anymore. I hadn't seen that one yet. Nothing like watching a 400-pound person move. Nothing like watching them run. Really good to see. Anyway, I think we need to understand this. None of this is happening under the guise of First Amendment protected activity. They're not even pretending that it is. They're just organizing to riot, to attack cops, to interfere with law enforcement activity. Like, at least Black Lives Matter carried signs when they were rioting. Sure, they were burning down bookstores, but, you know, at least they were, some of them were marching, right? You had a core contingent that was marching up and down the street waving signs to at least give the appearance of a legitimate protest, while a huge number of them just ran around tearing statues down and burning things. But at least they pretended. These people are not pretending. This is why the whole thing is ridiculous to me. None of this is protest. None of this is protest. Going up and fighting the cops, trying to de-arrest somebody, is not a protest activity. But again, we're dealing with people who are delusional, who are living in a delusional world. Don't do anything stupid. Alex, is it pretty or pretty? I haven't even heard this pronounced yet. I'm going to say pretty. Saying pretty is... Anyway, Alex Pretty's parents warned son not to cause trouble while protesting. The parents of slain anti-ICE activist Alex Pretty, who was shot and killed during a confrontation with federal agents Saturday, said they'd warned their son to be careful while protesting, warning him to keep his distance and, quote, not do anything stupid. Speaking to the Associated Press, Pretty's father, Michael Pretty, said his son was deeply upset over President Donald Trump's deportation policies and he'd participated in demonstrations following the ICE shooting of Renee Good earlier this month. Quote, he cared about people deeply and he was very upset with what was happening in Minneapolis and throughout the United States with ICE, as millions of other people are upset. Pretty's dad told the AP he felt that doing the protesting was a way to express that, you know, his care for others. Well, it would have been if he'd protested. That would have been a great way to show that. That's not what he did. He showed up as a trained Antifa militant to try to physically assault ICE officers with a handgun that likely went off and caused his death. So he shouldn't have been there in the first place. There's no legitimate reason for him to be there in the first place. He was not protesting. There was no protest going on. It was just a law enforcement action to arrest a criminal and some dude showing up and trying to stop them with a gun. So you expect me to feel sorry for this person? We'll get into more on the other side. There's a lot more to get into. Stay with us. I do want to remind you, right now we have a brand new product on thealexjonesstore.com, Mind Fuel Nootropic Energy Shot. Plus, you get free atomic defense since we're dropping Mind Fuel. Mind Fuel is the new nootropic energy shot built for focus, drive, and performance when you need to lock in. Maybe I need one.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do, yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after the Onion said they bought us, We might actually hold on and win, but regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We have some breaking news here. Gregory Bovino, the sort of de facto Border Patrol spokes agent, has been relieved of duty as commander-at-large of the U.S. Border Patrol. Nuke Sortor posted this, saying this is BS. Trump must reverse this now. Bovino put his life on the line every single day, pushing for mass deportations across the country, going head-to-head with leftists and reminding them who's boss. His family's been on lockdown for months, and despite the constant death threats, he's still in public leading his men every day. Do not cower to Democrats, President Trump. But he always does. Why does he? What does he think this is going to do? Do you think this is going to help? I really don't understand that. Trump says he's sending Tom Homan to Minnesota tonight as major investigation into the welfare fraud in Ilhan Omar underway. President Trump announced on Monday that he's sending Border Czar Tom Homan to Minnesota tonight amid the ongoing riots. This comes after Border Patrol fatally shot a man identified as 37-year-old Alex Jeffrey Preddy during a struggle on Saturday morning after the suspect pulled his gun on agents, sparking riots and further attacks on law enforcement. Border Patrol Commander Greg Bovino told reporters on Saturday that the incident occurred while federal agents were attempting to arrest Jose Huerta Chuma of Ecuador, an illegal alien who had a record of domestic assault, to intentionally inflict bodily harm, disorderly conduct, and driving without a valid license. Meanwhile, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz responded to the incident, making no mention of the gun-wielding individual obstructing law enforcement. Instead, he claimed that Minnesotans who were rioting at the time were peacefully exercising their First Amendment rights, and he declared that he's creating a log of evidence for the future prosecution of ICE agents and officials responsible for this. So what are we doing? So what are we doing here? We can go to some videos of White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt discussing the reaction to some of this. Again, I feel like it's a little bit soft for my liking, but we can go here to clip number 14. I'll pull this up.
That's why President Trump spoke with Governor Walz directly this morning, and he has outlined a clear and simple path to restoring law and order in Minnesota. Number one, Governor Walz, Mayor Fry, and all Democrat leaders should turn over all criminal illegal aliens currently incarcerated in their prisons and jails to federal authorities, along with any illegal aliens with active warrants or known criminal histories for immediate deportation. Number two, state and local law enforcement must agree to turn over all illegal aliens who are arrested by local police. And then thirdly, local police must assist federal law enforcement in apprehending and detaining illegal aliens who are wanted for crimes, especially violent crimes. If Governor Walz and Mayor Fry implement these common sense cooperative measures that I will add have already been implemented in nearly every single other state across the country, Customs and Border Patrol will not be needed to support ICE on the ground in Minnesota. ICE and local law enforcement can peacefully work together, as they are effectively doing in so many other states and jurisdictions. Additionally, President Trump is calling on the United States Congress to immediately pass legislation ending sanctuary cities once and for all. American cities should be safe sanctuaries for law-abiding citizens only, not for dangerous illegal alien criminals who broke our nation's laws and do not belong here. We hope Governor Walz will do the right thing and continue to work with President Trump to keep the American people safe following their call this morning. Americans overwhelmingly want exactly what President Trump is delivering.
We're just in bizarro world. What do you even do here? I really don't even know. I'm speechless. You literally have one side of the conversation going, this is basically like what Anne Frank went to. ISIS, Gestapo Nazis that are illegitimate. They're not even real law enforcement. And then Trump is like, we're so happy that Tim Walz is working together with us and we'll continue to keep Americans safe. Just like, okay, which one of you is insane? Because this is an incompatible impasse.
I'm not influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot and a journalist and a pundit and analysis and a futurist and father and a guy who loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer. It just shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night, to quote Waylon Jennings.
Get wide awake with Harrison Smith, live on The War Room right now on X and Band.video worldwide.
Welcome back, folks. Again, we find ourselves in this Twilight Zone world. That's good, kind of a good term for it. Twilight Zone. Because we really are just, we're dealing with like, insanity on one side and just inexplicable incompetence on the other. This is from NN on X. I want you to remember Charlie Kirk getting his neck blown out in front of college kids. The entire world watched it happen. And I want you to remember how the left reacted, how they celebrated, how they justified it, how hundreds of thousands of people liked a post where Amanda Seyfried said it deserved it. Then remember how enraged they were when President Trump moved his head and survived an assassination attempt on live television, something that would have thrown this country into chaos, if not outright civil war. Remember how they built shrines and merchandise for Luigi Mangione after he murdered an innocent man in cold blood. And Ashley Babbitt, they didn't just defend the shooting, they turned her killer into a hero and have mocked her death for 5 years straight. The hypocrisy is so loud and rancid, it makes their obnoxious red whistles seem quiet. This is not politics. This is a communist insurgency carried out by people who openly worship the ideology of Karl Marx and want to eliminate everyone to the right of him. They don't care about life or innocent victims. They care about power, and they will justify any amount of bloodshed to get it. Except where we are, it's not going to be pretty. Do not be manipulated by their narcissistic, emotional blackmail warfare. The only way is through. Yeah, well said. And this, again, is just the pathetic part. And again, if one of their, you know, random lefty people was shot in the head, would anybody on the right celebrate it? Absolutely not. Once again, this is not a matter of inequality. It's not a matter of, well, we shot one of their people and they didn't like it and they shot one of ours and we didn't like it. And so, you know, whatever, tit for tat kind of thing. Like Ashley Babbitt was actually unarmed. Ashley didn't have a gun, unlike Alex Freddy. Ashley didn't try to run anybody over with her car. Actually, if you watch the video, there were police officers right there standing in front of Ashley Babbitt, who then moved out of the way and stood right next to her as they allowed her to go through the door where somebody else, Michael Byrd, was hiding behind a pillar with just his gun out, shot her in the chest point blank range. It wasn't chaotic. It wasn't like people were running around, guns are going off. Oh my God, what's happening? No, he very clearly lined up a shot, waited for her to start climbing through the door, and then executed her. And they didn't say, well, it was a, you know, traumatic and chaotic event, and, you know, it was regrettable, but, you know, he thought it was the right thing to do. No, they said she deserved it and they should have killed more, basically. Why didn't they start shooting more people? It's like, this is who we're dealing with. They want you dead. They want all of us dead. They want the country burning. And you want to be sorry that one of them got in a fist fight with cops and paid the ultimate price? These are not protesters. None of these people are protesters. So they're insurrectionists. They're communists. They're evil, brainwashed scum. And we cannot feel sorry for them. I don't know why you would feel sorry for them. Honestly. I mean, I'll open up the calls in the fourth hour, or third hour rather. So I'll take your calls on this. I'm sure some people, you know, listening to me disagree with me. But like, you are wrong. I'm sorry to say you're wrong. It just like blows my mind that people have lived through the last 10 years and are like, hey, well, just be careful because, you know, if you, you know, support ICE being tyrannical, it'll be used against you. And it's like, first of all, no, it won't. Anybody working for ICE at this point is not on their side. They will not follow order. I mean, no, they won't. First of all, I really don't believe that. If ICE were to try to be used against the American people, then you do have a case for protest. Then you do have a case for overreach of the government. Then I wouldn't be against the protest. That's not what's happening here. So how are you trying to, like, it's all retarded. But it doesn't matter anyway, because that's what the FBI is for and has been used for in the recent past. Like, what are you talking about? They literally already did it. You're acting as if we're setting a precedent. They already set the precedent. We are not rising to meet it. The precedent that they set is if you're in a chat organizing a protest that they can frame as an insurrection, then you go to jail under RICO charges for domestic terrorism for 20 years. They set that precedent. So that's what they deserve. It's not a question of if we think that's the right thing to do. That's the thing to do now. They did it to us. We do it to them. Is that not what precedent is supposed to be all about? So they do it. And then I get yelled at by people going, oh, but what if they do it? They literally already did. What are you talking about? They murdered Ashley Babbitt in cold blood and then gave her killer a gold medal on TV. And you're acting like me saying Alex Preddy absolutely deserved it and is 100% responsible for his own death. It's like, well, you know, 5 years from now, they're going to be like, we would go easy on you, but Harrison said that this was the right thing to do. So it's like, guys, we are dealing with psychotic murderers. What has been unclear about this? You are warning. It's like I'm being told not to play with matches because I might start a fire, and I'm sitting in the burned out husk of a house that burned to the ground 2 years ago. It's already gone. There's no threat of fire anymore. They burned everything. So either we win or they do. That's the only thing that matters at this point. Because they don't believe in our values. They don't believe in the things that you're trying to protect. If you want to win, you have to win. If your ideas are better, they don't matter if a bunch of dumbass communists are dragging your body behind a car. Right? I actually do believe in Western values. I actually do believe in the Constitution and America. And so we have to save them from the evil people that don't deserve the rights contained therein, who are not worthy and are not even in accordance with it anyway. So it doesn't even matter. Again, not protests. None of these are protests. They aren't even pretending that they are. All the whistling and chanting that they do are all codified according to a leaked document from the Signal ICE chat either a send call for help or verified ICE agent. Even the chance means something as well. These instructions are pretty detailed. This is from one of the document tranches that were received. And by the way, have we not been telling you for years and years and years how much there is to find on these networks? I did a whole Moonbase Live episode, must have been a year ago at this point, showing you that they had Telegram groups and that they had Signal chats, and that in order to get into the Signal chats, because in Telegram, they would, it would be people going, you know, I think protesting is good, but we need to do more. And then the response would be like, that's what the Signal group chat is for. Here's a link to join. And then they would vet you and make sure you weren't, you know, a Fed before they'd get you in. Everyone listening to my voice should be doing everything you possibly can to infiltrate and disrupt these networks. It is not hard, honestly. And it's sad that it took this long for this thing to come out. I mean, they have thousands of people in these groups. Do you really think it's impossible? Like, if you're somebody that's out there listening to my voice and you don't have, like, a well-publicized track record of being conservative, why would you not try to infiltrate these and then provide us with the documents that they find? It's incredibly valuable. And you'd be like, become famous by finding this stuff. So this is one of the documents. How to report ICE activity. If you're sure it's ICE, take the following steps. Alert other ICE watchers at your school location via your school signal group. That's right. There's the big signal group, and then there's the little signal groups for each independent neighborhood. Coordinator monitoring the school should report to the verifiers thread using the verified ICE sighting prefix, or if possible, call an admin of your local verifier / rapid response thread to give critical information as quickly as possible. 2, warn surrounding people, including staff, and ask for help. Record the incident. In event of active abduction, connect with the person being detained if possible and take detailed notes. I mean, it is very professional. It's very well laid out. It's very much absurd that it's an independent reporter that found this and not the FBI. Meanwhile, compare this, and this is just one page of like hundreds of pages of very detailed instruction on exactly what to do, how to do it, codes and communications and everything. Compare that to the group chats that were used to send Stuart Rhodes and Enrique Tarrio to jail for 20 years, where they were just like, this is going to be crazy. Yeah, it is. You know, Antifa better not show up. And then it's like, see, it was an unspoken conspiracy to overthrow the government. Meanwhile, these signal chats are actually a conspiracy to overthrow the government in black and white. No interpretation needed. No speculation necessary. And Pam Bondi sent a very strongly worded letter. So, you know, they'll see the light pretty soon. FBI has launched a SignalGate investigation, according to Kash Patel. So add this to the list, I guess. Add this to the list of things that the FBI should be doing, that the FBI should have been ahead of, that the FBI should have already not just investigated, but probably broken up, dissolved, dealt with years ago. Add it to the list. So we now have the Charlie Kirk assassination, the Donald Trump attempted assassination, the pipe bomber case. Now we have the signal gate. Of course, you have the Somali fraud. All of these things followed exactly the same pattern. The FBI didn't say anything about them. Independent reporters exposed them, went totally viral, made the FBI look like a bunch of chumps, only for then the FBI to come in and say, don't worry, we're investigating it. Actually, we're going to solve it really quick. It's like, you people are pathetic. Dissolve the FBI. I mean, what would be the damage of dissolving the FBI? They don't do anything. If you can't find this, you don't deserve to be a law enforcement agency in our country. Dissolve it completely. Just give it to Cam Higby. Why not? He is doing more than the FBI is. James O'Keefe has done more and better investigations than the FBI ever has. On purpose, because they're not actually investigating anything because they're in on it. But let's see what Kash Patel says about this. SignalGate continues to erupt out of Minneapolis as the organizational structure or command and control nodes of left-wing activists operating within encrypted messaging apps were infiltrated and exposed on Sunday, revealing that on-the-ground pressure campaigns against federal agents were highly coordinated and, according to some experts, exhibit characteristics of a low-level insurgency. Gee, you don't say. We're investigating it. As soon as Higbee put that post out, I opened an investigation on it. If that leads to a break in the federal statute or a violation of some law, then we are going to arrest people. They should be worried. If they broke the law, you should be worried. Are we in fantasy world? If they broke the law, it's all against the law. They're actively organizing an insurrection. There's no, here's the headline here. There's no protest activity in the Signal group chat. Okay. Let me repeat that. There is no First Amendment protected protest activity going on in the Signal chat. None of it is about protest. All of it is about interfering with law enforcement, which is not a protest, is not free speech, is not protected under the First Amendment. What are we talking about? I think we actually have this video. I think we have Kash Patel on with Benny Johnson. And we can go to it. We have a bunch of funny videos actually to get to. Yeah, let's go to that video now. Here's 51, Kash Patel revealing an investigation into the Signal chat. Let's watch.
Okay, so this is breaking news. So you and the FBI and perhaps other intelligence agencies are fully aware of this coordinated effort to attack federal law enforcement, to impede them and potentially insurrect. Uh-huh. And so there is now an open investigation into these chats and into this coordinated network.
Yeah, because
some of them are fleeing. Some of them are very scared now. You can see their chats. They're very, very worried now that they have been exposed.
Well, they should be. If they broke the law, you should be worried. It's that simple. If you didn't break the law, there's really nothing to worry about on that front. And so, you know, we're going to continue, as I've said from day one, we will protect law enforcement. We will make sure they have the security and safety to do their jobs. We will also ensure that civilians have the ultimate protection of the First and Second Amendment. But it is my job to adjudicate the difference when there is a breaking of federal statute or state law in the furtherance of a crime or violence against law enforcement officers. And that's when we step in.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. What's the way? I feel like Cash needs a nickname. That's like, I don't know. There's gotta be someone who always like shows up after the party's over. That's who Cash Patel is. He shows up after the independent journalists have done the investigation, found the evidence, exposed the networks, been attacked, then Kash Patel comes in and goes, don't worry, we got it from here, and then it just disappears forever. Kash, the cleanup guy, is basically it. He's always a day late and a dollar short, always showing up after the crime makes headlines to talk big and do absolutely nothing. If he was good at his job, he would have been the one to discover these Signal chats. If he was just decent at his job, we'd already have arrest warrants out for these people. At the very least, letters to them from the DOJ telling them, preserve your evidence. But instead, we'll get what we've gotten over and over again. Independent reporters breaking a big story. The FBI coming in a week later to say, yeah, don't worry, we're on top of this. And then maybe a week or so from now, we'll get nothing, basically. They'll, like, try to arrest one of the activists that they try to blame the whole thing on, and then a judge will say, you're not allowed to prosecute her, and then it'll be over. And they'll say, well, we tried. I mean, what else is going to happen? The unwelcome guest. No, but it's more like, yeah, Johnny come lately, Cash come lately. That's sort of his name. I mean, Cash, there's got to be a pun to play on Cash, right? Look up idioms that have the word cash in it. I'm sure we could find a good one. Dollar short, right? Day late and a dollar short. I mean, Patel is referring to citizen journalist Cam Higbee's bombshell report on infiltrated Signal chats linked to left-wing groups in Minneapolis that are acting as a shadow revolutionary force against the federal government's deportation operations targeting criminal illegal aliens. What is especially concerning is that the federal government was unable to identify the command and control communication structures behind these pressure campaigns in the sanctuary city, where citizen journalists were the ones who ultimately uncovered the bombshell. But we've known this the whole time. I mean, Cam Higby found the actual chat and posted the actual chat. But we've been reporting on this forever. Cash cow. It's not bad. Strapped for cash. Short on money. That's not bad. Nah. Petty cash. That's pretty good. We have cash flow problems. Nah, we'll find a better one. We'll find a better one, but it really is just pathetic. And again, the thing about this, like, it would be one, okay. If nobody from the government was in these signal chats, then we'd be dealing with, well, I was going to say something close to the equivalent of January 6th, but even that isn't even true. But we'd be still dealing with something that was illegal. We'd still be dealing with a well-funded, well-established, well-connected network of activists coordinating illegal activity. None of these are protests. The First Amendment does not protect intervening in law enforcement activity. This should be simple for literally everyone to understand. Why is nobody making this argument? It's crazy. Some people are. Why are the people in power not acting on this argument? I don't know. If it was just regular citizens, it would already be a crime. You would have the equivalent, basically, of what they charged the January 6th conspirators with, like Stuart Rhodes. Is these people are in a signal chat with other people coordinating action to try to overthrow the government in a way that has led to injuries and death. That's not the case. The entire Minnesota and Minneapolis power structure is represented in these chats, are directly involved in actually using state resources to coordinate and organize. Literal insurrection. It's a literal civil war. And as I said like a million times, we don't need to convince them of this. We don't need them to say, you're right, we are criminals. They will never say that. We need to just impose the law upon them. It is unbelievably simple. Former Tim Walz campaign manager Amanda Kohler, as well as Minneapolis City Council member Oren Chowdhury, have allegedly been identified in key figures in the now leaked Signal group chat. Amanda Kohler has now deleted her social media accounts and made her website private. The group even had a Signal chat guide advising anti-ICE protesters. The Signal chat was exposed by journalist Cam Higby, who published a bombshell report on Sunday after infiltrating multiple groups across Minneapolis with the stated aim of tracking federal agents and impeding, assaulting, or obstructing their operations. The report sparked a wildfire across X tonight. Higby's reporting unleashed a rapid mobilization of citizen journalists, including accounts such as Zero Hour One, who began mapping what appears to be an organized command and control network of left-wing activists behind the groups. Here's what we have on these Signal chats. Government officials, anarchists, Antifa, gang members, journalists, coordinating and attacking ICE agents across the country. This, my friends, is organized crime, not protesting. RICO. Which, of course, it is, and it always has been. I remember reporting in 2020 on a hot mic that captured an NBC producer coordinating with one of the organizers of the riot, who's on mic going, yeah, I came from Chicago. They sent me down here to lead this, and I'm in communication with your producer at NBC. So it's like for at least 5 years, they've had these networks of, you know, national protest riot leaders. If you cross the state line and participate in a riot, that's a federal crime. We could have charged any of these people at any point and everybody in their network under RICO charges. None of them have even been brought up on charges. A lot of them, if they ever were arrested, have now been given gigantic multi-million dollar payouts from the city for their pain and suffering of being punished for the crimes they committed. But they're working with the media. They're working with the local authorities. They're working with people in the federal authorities, people embedded within ICE, to create this situation. And now Donald Trump is saying we're going to remove ICE from the city to teach them that doing this is rewarded. It's actually a good way to get what you want.
Every guest I have had in studio in the last 6 months, I've given our medical grade USP methylene Bluetooth. I don't even tell them what's going to do. I just say, here, take this, see what happens. Within 15 to 30 minutes, every guest says they've gotten energy like they've never experienced. Clarity, focus. It's like a fog has lifted. Their critical thinking goes to the next level. And that's what the science shows it does in our cells. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect because it electrochemically turns up the literal electrochemical electricity in the body. And so he was here a few months ago, didn't know what it was, know me for a long time, said sure he'll take it. He heard Kennedy talk about it, RFK Jr. He took it, and it was so game-changing. In the last few months, he ran out of the bottle I gave him, so he wanted more. And the first thing he wanted was to take some more before we even went live on air. That's how amazing this is. You want to do the plug, and I appreciate this.
I do. I came in
because you came in saying, I want more methylene blue, and then I looked over when you went on the air. You'd already slurped some down. Your mouth was blue. I said, you're Papa Smurf. So, Patrick Byrne.
How much is the correct amount to put in? About that much?
Yeah, I mean, Kennedy does three droppers. This is really strong.
You gave me some last time. I think you gave it on air. You totally feel the difference. I used the bottle you gave me. It's great. It totally makes it. You can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me, and I came back to Austin just to pick up this pump.
Well, you can always get it at theologyshow.com, but we'll certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules, but we have the strongest medical grade. It's super good for you. It cleans out your mitochondria. Most people get instant energy, like 99% of people, but it's the workout. It's what it does for your skin, your libido. So you've been on it a few months.
I just had that one bottle, but...
And you're saying no letdown. That's the best part. It's not an amphetamine. It's not a speed, but it feels like that.
It's throughout... I see RFKs on it. Yeah. I just used up that bottle, and so for a couple of weeks, I had this great energy, but it's not speed. It's not caffeine. It's nothing like that. It's doing something else for you. So I really...
Well, it skips three levels of the oxygenation process in the cells. It's just next level. It's incredible. And they've suppressed it. And my medical doctor 6 years ago said, get on it. And I got to get USP grade. It didn't do anything. And then our sponsor got this super strong one. I'm like, oh, let me try it. Whoa. I mean, it funds the operation, folks. But I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten our USP grade, real USP grade, Ultra Methylene Blue, theologyshow.com, you are missing out. It is so good for you. 99% of people, it's more than that. Like, I've given it to like 400 people, maybe two or three didn't feel it. Some get totally freaked out that they're going crazy. So talk to your physician first. Take a very low dose the first time. You can't take it on SSRIs and other things. It is amazing. TheAlexShow.com. So,
yeah, it's not psychosomatic. It's not psycho. You feel it. You feel it.
Well, I didn't tell you what you were going to feel. How fast did it kick in and what did you feel?
I felt it by the time, the end of the show. By the time I got, the last time I was here, I felt it probably by the end of the show or by the time I got in my car. You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus. It's probably like why you are as intense as you are, Alex.
It's made me more intense. Well, I was taking full doses at first and then working out so hard that, you know, I had to go.
You look jacked.
Well, I've cut back. The point is, I only take it every 3 days now because it's crazy. Everything we sell, I want is working and is good. That's what I want. I mean, I'd be like a restaurant. I ain't gonna serve dog to people. They're not gonna come back. But I mean, this thing is the most dramatic, quick acting, and it's good for you. It's just insane. And if I could just get a few more percentage of the audience to buy it, all our problems would be solved. Patrick Byrne was totally blown away by it, as every other guest we've given it to has been blown away.
Band.video. I'm actually going to be joined by Nick Sortor in the next hour, 5:30 time slot. We'll be joined by Nick Sortor to get his take on Trump's recent announcement that Greg Bovino and others, not all Border Patrol agents, but a sizable amount of Border Patrol agents will be withdrawn from Minneapolis in what seems to me like a capitulation to the terrorist demands that I'm not thrilled about, to say the very least. But again, the sheer number of people in leftist politics in Minnesota and Minneapolis that are in this Signal group chat. It's basically all of them. It's a huge number. And if this was an administration that was serious about dealing with the existential threat of communist revolution in this country, which, by the way, they're not even doing right now. You understand they have their plan. It's for 2028. This is the 2 years of lead up to that. And in fact, they're practicing as we speak to prepare for that 2028 mass general strike when every union is going to coordinate strikes and try to shut down the American economy in order to get their demands met. Their demands, of course, are we become communist. The exact same play that they ran in 1918 with Germany, with the German communist revolution. If we had an administration that actually wanted to deal with this, this would be the golden goose. This would be their enemies handed to them on a platter, just beautifully prepared, gift wrapped, sealed with a kiss. So what are we doing with it? So what are we doing about it? I mean, we just caught the Democrat control apparatus red-handed with people in positions of authority, current office holders, as well as people extremely close to current office holders, as well as journalists, as well as activists, in a chat whose direct instruction has led to at least one death. As this guy, Pretty, was in this Signal group chat, and the Signal group chat was discussing the area and sending people to that area just before he went and got his ass shot. So, I mean, this is like the, was it Adam Weishaupt? Who is the guys who basically was revealed the Illuminati? Again, another like miraculous event in human history where this guy had all of the plans of the Illuminati, the secret sect within the secret sects, the people that are trying to use the Masons and, you know, the other secret societies to overthrow the nobility in Europe. Adam Weishaupt, I think his name was. And he had all these plans and all these lists of the Illuminati in his pocket, and he was struck by lightning. And so when they went to try to help him, they found these notes, and the Bavarian authorities actually put it on display for everybody to see that there was this giant conspiracy happening. That's essentially what we've been delivered. Yet another lightning strike miracle where the plans and the list of participants in a revolutionary communistic overthrow of the government have been revealed. The question is, what are we going to do about it, if anything? Are we going to let yet another like miracle pass us by? So again, Cam Higsby, bombshell report. Tim Walz's campaign advisor, Amanda Kohler, was in it. City Council, Minneapolis City Council member Orrin Chaudhry has allegedly been identified as a key figure, sitting office holder in Minneapolis. Kohler has gone dark now. The group even had a Signal chat guide advising anti-ICE protests. The entire point of the chat is to assault, impede, or obstruct the operations of ICE. Government officials, anarchists, Antifa, gang members, and journalists are in the chat. What's unfolding right now isn't a protest. It's a low-level insurgency infrastructure built by people who've clearly studied the playbook. The encrypted Signal messages obtained by Fox News Digital in real time show that anti-ICE rapid responders were actively tracking, broadcasting, and summoning backup around the federal agents or outside Glam Doll Donuts on Nicolette Avenue where the shooting happened. Local rapid responders made at least 26 entries into a database called MN ICE Plates in the critical hours before and after the killing, documenting the license plate numbers and details of alleged ICE vehicles they claim to see around Nicolette Avenue. So again, here is a group chat with people in the Minnesota government telling people to go and interfere with ICE just before somebody goes, interferes with ICE, and ends up dead. Maybe everybody on the Signal chat can be charged with his murder. That's what they would do if it was us. This highly organized Signal group even managed to track journalist James O'Keefe, as well as quickly obtain his cell phone number and threaten the journalist with violence. They tracked James O'Keefe's license plate in Minnesota, texted him about it, and threatened his life. These leftists have access to state license plate databases and are weaponizing them to commit vigilante justice. This is organized domestic terrorism. And the text sent to James O'Keefe said, we know exactly where you are. You have an hour to leave or we're going to kill you. Not like, well, you better watch out, buddy. No, no. Leave the city or we're going to kill you. Yeah, that's a crime. So just add that to the RICO charges of everybody in this Signal group chat. Besides tracking and deploying anti-ICE pressure campaigns against federal agents like guerrilla-style warfare tactics through the messaging app, the group was also building a list of federal vehicle license plates stored in a database, Zero Hour One revealed this Sunday. Also, there's a Reuters reporter there tracking us every day. To be fair, I was as well, but I was tracking insurrectionists, not ICE. So you have reporters in Reuters who knew about this and were participating in the Signal chat. Now, if they were actual journalists, they would have revealed this. They weren't. I mean, the whole thing gets crazy. Fleeing to Cuba. Insurrectionists fleeing the city and state. A tipster, BitChute needs soap. Oh, I'm not going to read that. Message some of the people in one of the insurrectionist Signal chats. The user indicated that he or she needs to flee the state because, quote, we're in so much trouble, we're all effed, Sky said. I mean, again, we have now been delivered the perfect package to round up and prosecute all of these people to end this insurrection today if we wanted to. And if we were the left wing, we would. We're the left wing. We're the Democrats. We had anybody in any position of power with a set of balls, every single person in the Signal chat group, especially the leaders, anybody with any sort of leadership position in these Signal chats would have their door kicked down this morning and they'd be hauled out and facing RICO charges, a couple decades in prison for domestic terror. I don't know if any of them will be arrested. They'll probably just let the Signal chat keep going. Oh, well, you know, there's no law against expressing yourself on Signal, so yeah, we'll just let them do it. I mean, why hasn't it happened yet? I guess is my question. I guess my question is, if it's going to happen, why hasn't it happened yet? By the way, if you want to meet the people who were actually in charge of the Signal chat, Myrtle Lemon Todd and Trevor Lemon Todd, marketers and sign designers of the Signal chat group, maintains group membership and reminds people to change their names, known as T Lemon and Shark Pile. So this is allegedly one of the people involved, Myrtle Todd Lemon, Myrtle Lemon Todd. Here they are. So I just, you know, all these people, all these right-wingers, supposed quote-unquote conservatives that are all like upset about the idea that, you know, you're having to fight leftists, your fellow Americans. These people are literal monsters, y'all. They are goblins. They are actually ogres. Like, what, you don't have to worry about, like, what this is. These people are literal monsters. Yeah, y'all, we got to find the actual picture. We got to see the full body shot of these two grotesque beasts who are running the Signal chat, apparently. I don't know if they're male or female, human or something else. But it's a pertinent and timely reminder that at the end of the day, communism is not a set of beliefs. It is simply the biological imperative of ugly, disgusting, monstrous freaks to try to destroy the beautiful and the uplifting. That's all. Everything else is set dressing. Everything else is a mask of that internal driving force. Is anti-human, disgusting slugs who have been taught to hate humans as a proxy of hating themselves want to kill all of the good and happy and beautiful people because they have what they don't have. So that's really at the base of it. That's all it is. And it's really not that complicated. I'll retweet this so the guys can pull it up there. Myrtle Lemon Todd, Myrtle and Trevor. the disgusting freaks that libertarians are, you know, very, very worried about offending. Okay, so you've got Tim Walz's former campaign manager. You've got a sitting city council member. You've got a couple of bulbous tattooed psychopaths. You also have, apparently, State Representative Alex Falconer. All this is alleged, by the way, since, you know, the authorities haven't ever bothered to actually investigate any of this stuff. All we're going on is the assertion of independent reporters, which could very well be mistaken. There they are. There you go. I couldn't let our audience not be, have this image burned into their minds with the tattoos that look like a child's doodle book, wearing cowboy hats of all things. Those go on the humans, not the animals. You'd know that if you're a cowboy. So I just, you know, I don't judge people by their looks. But I'll make an exception. But I'll make an exception in this case and just say, you don't have to worry about these. You don't have to worry about offending these people. You don't have to worry about these people's rights. They don't believe in rights. They don't believe in humanity. They're just disgusting freaks that need to be helped. We need to help them to shut up forever. Okay, yeah, Minnesota Antifa dude who called to take up arms against ISIS is a cross-dressing LGBTQ queer activist who wears dresses, wigs, and heels. Like the least surprising thing I've ever heard. And you got a bunch of people out there going, I don't know about the optics of what ICE is doing. I don't know, have you seen the people that are arrayed against them? I mean, what is this? What are we looking at here? I don't even know where to begin. Gender is like the least concerning thing. Just crazy. And again, basically everybody's in this chat. So let me just do this. Let me just give you the full list. So this is who has been accused so far of being in this Signal group chat. You have Tim Walz's former campaign manager, who is Amanda Kohler. You also have City Council member Orrin Chowdhury. You have a number of other people that, you know, we don't know the names of, but they are Reuters journalists who could have exposed this at any point, but instead are participating in the activity. It appears as though state representative for Minnesota, Alex Falconer, was in this list. He faces renewed calls to be arrested because of his involvement running an anti-ICE insurrectionist network and Signal chats to stalk ICE. And he's made videos where he's encouraged people to do this. So state representative, city councilman, campaign managers for Tim Walz, Minnesota state senate candidate Anita Smithson, who's an employee at U.S. Bank, is one of the leaders of the anti-ICE resistant groups, which the guy killed the obstructing ICE was also a part of. Anita Smithson, candidate for Minnesota State Senate, avid ICE watch dispatcher. In her spare time, she likes supporting her BLM activists, being a spurg for Tim Walz, and does risk management for a major bank. And people are suggesting that she might have been the source of some of the personal information that was supplied, since as the high up person at a bank, she would have access to people's, you know, personal information. Flan Southside, aka Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, dispatch admin to the Signal group, chat group. Of course, Anita Smithson would include her to run the group dispatch operation. Still figuring out who Boogie is. It may be Tim Walz. So there's a guy who's a quote unquote dispatcher of this group named Boogie. People are wondering who that is and saying it might be Tim Walz. But we do know that Flan is likely Peggy Flanagan, who is the woman, by the way, who went viral recently because she dressed in a headdress and a hijab to talk about how powerful and wonderful the Somali community is. And in fact, we have videos of her. Let's go to clip number 42 here. This is Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Petty Flanagan. Apparently was in this Signal chat that encouraged the Preddy guy to go commit suicide by cop. Here's the lieutenant governor of Minnesota. Let's watch.
So this is literally the second time this weekend as we've been doing an event where there's been breaking news that ICE agents are in the community. So this is not just an issue that impacts the Twin Cities. It impacts all of us. Watch out for each other. And I completely understand if folks have to go or there's other observers in this space. But just would ask that you get trained up. You learn how to respond in this moment. How many of you have gone through legal observer training so far? Couple folks. I know that there will be more opportunities to go through this training that will be offered online. The Immigrant Defense Network is available for folks. Minarca, that's through UNIDOS, is another place where people can look for training. I have gone through, I know your rights training, also legal observer training. It doesn't take very long, but it's really important.
So again, this woman was allegedly an admin of the Signal chat. And it just, I mean, honestly, it just goes on and on. Audrin Chowdhury, a Minneapolis City Council member, has been linked to the top of an anti-iSignal group chat. This revelation is fueling calls for a major investigation into her and other city officials allegedly involved. Minnesota Rapid Response Chat is divided into geographical groups in Minnesota and even further broken up by neighborhood. They all refer back to a few of the same organizations: Monarca, UNIDOS, MN, Defend the 612, MIRAC, ACLU. They also direct people to the same legal institutions for reporting specific ICE activity, AG Ellison's office being one of them. So it looks like Attorney General Keith Ellison is also a part of this group, as they tell people that he's a friendly person they can call in order to get direction. Okay, so you've got connections to Larry Ellison, Tim Walz, and all of their deputies. And they're doing this on government time, and they're doing it with government resources, and they're likely doing it with access to government databases. So the city of Minneapolis and the state of Minnesota are in a condition of rebellion against the federal government, and this ends when they succeed or the federal government puts it down. These are the only options. So why is Trump capitulating? Why is he trying to work with Tim Walz? What is he talking about? Oh, just give us the illegal alien criminals. Like, they should already, the fact that they're not doing that should already be justification for their arrest, to charge them with any crime committed by any illegal alien that they previously let out, which are numerous and terrifying. So again, how many times in the last year since Trump got inaugurated have we been given everything one could possibly ever need for a prosecution? I'm thinking all the way back to the ODNI, Tulsi Gabbard, coming out in like May of last year with a report showing that Barack Obama himself was deeply involved with the Russiagate conspiracy, and that everybody in the Russiagate conspiracy knew beyond any reasonable doubt from the very first step that all of it was fraudulent. It was all a giant cover-up to try to stop the election of Donald Trump. That was delivered in like May of last year. Total bombshell, dead to rights. They have absolutely everything. Nothing's happened to any of them. Here, once again, we have not just the unbelievable tens of billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars in fraud committed by the Minnesota Democrats in cooperation with the Somali pirates. And then in a cover-up of that, they start a civil war in which all of the local government is in a signal chat group instructing useful idiot citizens to go interfere with ICE, not a First Amendment protected activity, actually a action of insurrection for which there is no legal justification whatsoever. Are we going to do anything about it? Do we need to wait for the Trump administration to do anything about it? I mean, I genuinely am at the point where it's like really hard not to just call for militia activity. I mean, at a certain point, like, the Trump administration has lost its opportunity to actually do something about this. And, of course, the irony is the minute right-wingers showed up in Minneapolis, you absolutely know there would be no hesitation. There'd be no injunctions from judges. There would be no waffling. There'd be no angry letters. The Trump administration, the entire federal government, would deploy, and they would remorselessly execute anybody in the right wing involved. Does anybody doubt me? Anybody think that if a militia of good old boys showed up to protect ICE in Minneapolis, is there any doubt that the National Guard would be deployed that minute and everybody who they'd ever talk to would find themselves being questioned by the FBI? So at what point do we recognize that waiting for Trump is a trap? That the longer this goes on, the weaker our position is. How long? Because we got more about all of this, including, you know, the actual indictment when it came to the church raid last week with Don Lemon and his battalion of freaks going in and storming into a church. It was so much worse than we even knew. And it just puts the whole thing in a whole new perspective, where it was bad enough from what we saw on the video and what they admitted to doing, planning it, talking about how the whole purpose was to create trauma in children. It was, again, so much worse than we even knew, but the authorities knew it. And yet I think 3 people total have been arrested and all 3 are out already. And likely not going to face, you know, the federal charges that they deserve. And the federal judge, of course, didn't allow Don Lemon to be tried for it. But we'll get into what that looked like too. Because we really are at that point. I mean, when they're raiding churches and they broke somebody's arm, they were actually kidnapping the children that were there in Sunday school. They were keeping the parents away from the children. And of course, all of that was an attempt to inspire some sort of pushback or attack, knowing that the local authorities in Minneapolis, I mean, think about this. You've got parents in church, these random activists come storming in, causing all these problems in a city, by the way, where multiple children were murdered in church last year by leftist transgender activists. And then the parents are like, what the hell is going on? Start going to try to get their kids out of Sunday school. And the people are blocking the hallway to the kids in Sunday school. Like, when you are keeping parents from their children, frankly, it's a miracle that it didn't become more violent. But they know that they can antagonize anybody they want. And if somebody were to say, you know, let me get my kid and punch somebody in the face, that person would absolutely be arrested by the exact same attorneys general or whoever who refused to arrest Don Lemon. And they'd probably send him to jail for 5 years for, like, felony assault. So, again, my question is, how long are we going to continue to beg the system to do something it is so clearly not inclined to do?
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't know, and I'm going over there. You financed it. You paid for it with your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWarsStore.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the, you know, middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. 3 posters I designed, 2 I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King, Make No Peace with Evil, you know, same Crusader King, and then Do Like That Still Image of Me, and it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy, in a tube, or you get them for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, plus $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones to shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like a Star Trek Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Third hour of the War Room is on. I'll be joined by Nick Sortor at the bottom half of this hour. I want to start this hour with a video from Caitlin Bennett. Clip 50 here. She's asking an activist to explain why they're protesting. And they have nothing, because these people aren't protesting anything legitimate. They have absolutely nothing to stand on. They are communist infiltrators that are trying to overthrow the government. And they're doing it under the most pathetic sheen, glimmer of constitutional activity. They're not. And you try to ask them what they're actually protesting, and it all becomes very clear. Let's watch.
Why are you getting so angry?
Because our country being run by fucking criminals, and nobody's doing anything. And people like you are defending actions of fucking terrorists.
And people like you are defending these pedophiles being in Minnesota by wanting to abolish ICE and get them out of
there. I'm not defending those fucking pedophiles. If you're trying to argue that we need to get rid of these people, that these are fucking pedophiles, then get the fucking pedophiles in the White House out now.
Those are pedophiles.
Okay.
And so when you want ICE out of Minnesota or Minneapolis, this is who you're protecting.
No, I am not trying to protect those people. I'm protecting the actual people who had not had any previous criminal charges against them being deported. Sure, maybe those people have been convicted. Maybe they should get out. But
how do they get out, though?
I mean, get out.
But how does that happen without ICE?
Find some other organization, not hiring criminals.
There isn't. There is no lawful organization that can remove somebody that's here illegally and committed crimes. They can't do it.
You know what that's called? That's called the fucking police.
The local police does not, they don't deport people. ICE does.
Okay, well, here's the thing, though. Say that, they want to get these criminal, or they want to, like, convict the criminal, get them out, all right? You want to know an easy way to know if someone's been convicted, get criminals? Go to the fucking jail cells, get the people that have already been convicted, get them out, not random people on the fucking streets!
Okay, so again, we're just gonna talk calmly here. These people are pedophiles, okay, and they are criminals. Give me 1 second before your impulse tells you to interrupt me, okay? 1 second. If you don't want ICE going around, if you don't want them to exist, if you want them abolished, these people would still be in our streets. These people would still be going out and raping children. There is no one that could deport them. They don't have the agency to do that. And I think it's dangerous to start telling local law enforcement that they can go and start deporting people. ICE has the power under Title 8 to do this. So tell me, how do we remove these people if we abolish ICE?
Simple. Just lock them up for crimes that they've committed. If they haven't committed, if they committed crimes, they should be jailed. Just not even, just ignore the deportation, process. And the fact that you're trying to-
But these are federal crimes. These are federal crimes that are handled by the federal government because they are illegal.
How is it a federal crime to be protesting? Why did a mother have to get shot in the face 3 times?
We can talk about that after you tell me how on earth we are gonna get these people out without ICE. Local law enforcement, and you want to talk about constitutional and it being legal?
I'm well aware. She's a hack.
Why are you getting so angry?
Because our country being run by fucking criminals, and nobody's doing anything. And people like you are defending actions of fucking terrorists.
And people like you are defending these pedophiles being in Minnesota by wanting to abolish ICE and get them out of
there. I'm not defending those fucking pedophiles. If you're trying to argue that we need to get rid of these people, that these are fucking pedophiles, then get the fucking pedophiles in the White House out now!
Yeah, okay. It's weird that you were against certain pedophiles, but not these ones. But I appreciate your time. If you calm down at all and you want to have a further discussion, you can come find me. But your impulse...
I'll have a further conversation when you actually get a brain.
Yeah. All right. That's fine. Low impulse control.
She's awesome. She really is one of the best to do it. So calm, so motherly almost. Yeah, these are the people that were... I mean, who in their right mind could possibly watch that video and think, yes, the hyperventilating schizophrenic guy is clearly the right one. He clearly has his head on straight and he understands what's happening here. The man doesn't even know how to get a haircut. We'll be right back.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress, and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VFM members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VFM membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at thealexshowstore.com.
Dismantling the globalist agenda hour by hour. This is the War Room with Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be joined by Nick Sortor at the bottom of this hour. I got a lot of videos to go to in the meantime. We're going to change up topics just a little bit. I do want to tell you, though, we have a new product here. I've not had a chance to try it. Nootropic Mind Fuel Energy Shot. Clean, jitter-free energy. It's caffeine-free, which I'm suspicious of. We'll see. We'll see how much energy this provides. But no, of course, caffeine can make you feel like you really have a lot of energy, but you're really just fooling yourself. You're stealing your energy from the future, and it will catch up to you. But these, however, have just a variety of nootropic supplements in them to keep you awake in a sustained, not jittery fashion. It's a berry flavor. I'm going to try one right now. They're from Optimal Human, so you know they're good. Of course, I'm a big fan of the Optimal Human green drink mix. It's the Optimal Human nootropic mind fuel for clean, caffeine-free energy. It's a shot designed for clear thinking, steady focus, and zero compromise. Time to abandon sugary energy drinks and stimulant heavy formulas in favor of clean, functional, nootropic-based energy. I'm going to pop one of these open. So each box comes with a collection of these little bottles. I guess I'm supposed to take the whole thing, right? I'll go ahead and try to take the whole thing. Zero calories. It's sugar-free. It's a caffeine-free formula. Nootropic water blend. Alpha GPC, citricoline, DMAE, and GABA. Supports mental clarity and focus. Competes with premium brain formulas in a convenient shot, adaptogenic and herbal proprietary blend, and it's got electrolytes plus B vitamins. That'll really kickstart your day. And you can get it now for 25% off for life if you become a subscriber. But no matter what, you get a bottle of the Atomic Defense along with it when you buy it today at thealexjonesstore.com. Go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. So, bottoms up. Good. That tastes really good. That's excellent. So I used to be a big fan of the energy shots, like 5-hour energy and stuff, especially when I was working on film. If you had to do like an all-night shoot or something, we'd bring in boxes of these little poisons. And that is what it is. You drink one and it feel like you just took a shot of Fabuloso or something. It tastes like chemicals. Not this stuff. No chemical taste in this at all. No aftertaste either. Usually whenever I would do one of those brands of hour-based energy drinks, I'd always have to drink something else just to get the taste out of my mouth. Not with this stuff, though. This tastes really good. Nootropic Mind Fuel Energy Shot, berry flavor from Optimal Human, theAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison if you want to let him know who sent you. That really is good. All right. Like I said, we have a lot of videos still to get to this segment before we are joined by Nick Sortor. And where to even begin? Actually, let me actually just cover this real quick, because we talked a lot and I was outraged already with the invasion of the church by Don Lemon and his cabal of thugs. And we didn't know the half of it. We didn't know nearly the amount of detail that we do now. And it's truly insane, especially when you know that these people have not been charged. Most of them are not going to be charged. And those who have been charged, three of them, are already out on bail. And we'll see if they ever actually get any justice brought to them. They say victim four informed agents that members of their parish attempted to retrieve their children from the child care area located downstairs, but the agitators were blocking the stairs and the parents were unable to get to their children. Victim four recalled one agitator was threatening, aggressive, and intimidating towards parishioners. Additionally, this agitator was screaming and getting in people's faces, to include women and young children. This agitator continued to scream in the faces of children while they were crying. On January 19, 2026, Homeland Security Investigations and the Federal Bureau of Special Agents interviewed Victim 6 regarding the incident that took place at City's Church on January 18, 2026. I've learned the following from the report. Victim 6 recalled an African-American woman yelling, excuse me, Pastor, do you know you're harboring ICE agents? Victim 1. Victim 6 recalls protesters everywhere in the aisles chanting Victim 1 out. Victim 6 thought to himself that this is what it would feel like to be in a mass shooting. Victim 6 described the events as surreal and could not believe what was happening. Victim 6 recalled people shouting and running, children crying, as well as people singing and praying. Victim 6 recalled Kelly screaming Nazi in people's faces. In addition to confronting children, saying, do you know your parents are Nazis? They're going to burn in hell. Again, is this even arguably in the same realm as protected free speech? I mean, I understand that both of these things involve noise being made. But is storming into a church, assaulting children, and trying to keep parents away from their children, this is literally the equivalent of saying, I'm being charged for my speech because you held a gun to a bank teller and said, put the money in the bag. You're like, well, all I said was put the money in the bag. I thought we had free speech. I'm sorry, am I not allowed to have a conversation because of a phrase I said? You're going to send me to prison? You might as well be, right? I mean, if your free speech doesn't cover the demand for the bank teller to empty the vault, how does free speech encompass just blatantly terroristic activity? It doesn't, is the answer. It shouldn't. And the fact that they're trying to claim this has anything to do with free speech is just a humiliation ritual to basically, get you to silence yourself by playing on things that you believe but that they don't believe. Appeals court rejects DOJ push to charge more people over Minnesota church protest. Appeals court rejects DOJ push to charge more people over Minnesota church protest. Yelling in the faces of screaming children, your parents are Nazis, they're going to go to hell. Keeping parents away from their children, I mean, that alone is kidnapping. Absolutely, 100%. If a parent is trying to retrieve their child and somebody is blocking them from doing so, you can charge them with kidnapping. Parents get charged with kidnapping their own children if they don't deliver them to a custody arrangement in time. And of course, like I said, you know that all of this was simply in an attempt to cause outrage, to cause the people in the church to fight back, and then they would have been sent to prison. Woman arrested in anti-ICE church protest in St. Paul, freed from detention. Even that. There was no ICE there, and it wasn't a protest. And it's ridiculous to say otherwise. I mean, if I was a leftist, I'd be pushing this. I mean, clearly, if you just say you're protesting, you can kind of do anything. I mean, protesting is a word with a definition. It describes a particular type of behavior. But apparently, if you're a leftist, that includes just straight up screaming at children's faces who have no idea what's going on, have nothing to do with anything that you're supposedly protesting. It also apparently includes being in Signal group chats where you're instructing people to go interfere with the arrest of criminals who have warrants out for them. I wouldn't be surprised if it also encompassed robbing banks or, you know, kidnapping politicians. You might as well. I mean, am I the only one that sees how absurd this is? This is literally. It's like, have you ever heard a mass shooting described as a protest? Have you ever heard of whatever, dude. I mean, this is just ridiculous. And we do not have to stand for this. Victim 6 was scared the agitators were not going to let people leave and that they were going to harm Victim 1's family for harboring Victim 1. Victim 6 later stated protesters followed and surrounded them in their car and would not let them leave. Victim 6 informed agents that their face is on the city's church website and that they're afraid people will come to their house at night. Victim 6 recalled his child stating to him, "Daddy, I thought you were going to die." Victim 6 ended the interview and acknowledged his children are traumatized. And just 3 of these people have been arrested. All of them have been let out on bail. When, according to this, they committed kidnapping, they committed assault. Apparently one woman got her arm broken during this. Terrifying children, separating children from their parents, threatening and yelling in the faces of children. Every single person involved in this needs to be arrested and convicted, including, and almost most importantly, Don Lemon. And if the government won't do it, I still think why my statement stands. I don't think we have to put up with this. I really don't. Again, I'm trying to think of just another example. And it really is impossible to comprehend how we got to this point. I mean, essentially what this is if you can imagine like being in school and your teacher has a child that's in your class and that kid just abuses you constantly and the teacher never punishes them because they're her kid. I mean, you know, the teacher's son can do no wrong. And so, like, if you go to the principal and say, "Hey, you know, Miss Baker's son every day is like stabbing me with pencils, leaving lead and like making me bleed, like that is constantly interrupting me." And the teacher just tells me to deal with it. Why do I have to be abused? Why do we have to be abused? Why does it require the participation of authorities that we know are in it with the rioters to get justice? How long are we going to take this abuse? There were at least 10 people who stormed the church. At least. Every single one of them needs to be charged with terrorism. Every single one. Ideally, by an attorney in a court of law, but not necessarily, right? Again, it was, I'm just like, I'm just amazed at, like, the psychological torture that we're being put through. Like, how many times has this happened? Where it's like, already on the face of it, just the videos that we saw and the statements made by the people doing it were just, like, horrifying. And we showed the video, right? We showed multiple videos where there's videos of people who were arrested under the FACE Act by Joe Biden and were sentenced to years in prison. And the video of their crime is them literally sitting on the ground and singing a hymn in a hallway. They're sitting on the ground and they're singing a song about how Jesus loves you. And they were sent to prison for years for that. People on January 6th who did absolutely nothing, didn't even track mud into the Capitol, were placed in solitary confinement for 36 months on end without ever receiving a trial. And you're telling me that these people stormed into a church, were deliberately terrorizing children, were keeping parents separate from their children, broke a woman's arm, got out of the church, filmed the children crying, saying this is what it's all about, causing trauma in children, and only three of them have been arrested, some of them specifically prevented from being charged. These people in this video went to prison for years for this, for what they're doing right now. Quietly, in some cases silently sitting on the floor, in other cases sitting on the floor and praying or singing a hymn to themselves. 2 years in prison. So, like, at a certain point, like, maybe I don't care if the government gets overthrown. Maybe we need to figure out just how to protect ourselves in this. Because it really is like the, like, it's almost like the Trump administration is sending us the message. I mean, when you have Pam Bondi, after all of this has happened, two people at least are dead. You have this church raid. You have the Signal Gate revelation that all of these authorities, local authorities, are actively participating with the riots and in inciting the riotous conditions that caused the attacks on ICE that in turn end up with shooting a person. And that's just the deaths that have occurred. That's not counting the Border Patrol agent being beaten on the ground in one video, another agent having his finger bitten off, Jake Lang being attacked and nearly killed. I mean, I can show you 15 different videos of people being bloodied by left-wing activists. And you send Pam Bondi out to say, we wrote a letter. We wrote a strongly worded letter. I mean, are they mocking us? What's the deal? What's the deal? I just want to know. So again, they're not even giving us a good reason to not do something ourselves. But, I don't know how many times we have to go through this. I've never experienced anything like this where you see the church raid. It's so sickening and like disgusting and horrific on the face of it. And then a week later you learn like, no, it was actually way worse. Actually, as crazy as it was and as pissed off as you were that nothing was being done to bring justice to this, you didn't even know the half of it. But they did. But, the authorities did. The judge who said not to charge Don Lemon, he knew that this was the case. So, well, it's honestly, I mean, to me, it's almost like I'm like going through the stages of grief is how it feels. Feels like we've already lost the country. The country is dead at this point. And we need to like work our way towards acceptance of that. Because trying to pretend like the Trump administration ever intends on doing anything about any of this is sort of suicidal at this point. Because they don't. they don't plan on doing anything. If they did, it would already be done. And maybe the only thing that would get them to do something is if things like really spiraled out of control. I don't know. I'm sort of flailing at this point. Just feeling like I'm drowning, looking for anything that's floating. Because it's so, we were so far beyond justification for brutal crackdowns against leftists a year ago. And for the last year, we've been waiting for that to happen as the left has systematically built up their networks, built up their funds, carried out these little operations, testing responses. They killed Charlie Kirk. They've staged multiple military-style ambushes against ICE agents, some attacks that have left people dead. And nothing has been done to any of them. Nothing for Russiagate. Nothing for COVID. Nothing for the Ukraine war that's cost a million dead, hundreds of billions of dollars. Nothing for the genocide carried out by our greatest ally, Israel. Nothing's been done to make any sizable dent in the millions and millions of people that have come over here in the last 4 years. So I think that's a wrap. I think that's just about a wrap on the Trump second administration. It was a hilarious trick on us. Well done. You did it. You convinced us that you were serious about doing literally anything for any of us ever. And, it's been a year, and I think that's about it. I think that's about all the time that you need, and time for Plan B, I guess. I guess it's time for Plan B, because I'm not about to sit here for 3 years, three more years, wondering why nothing's being done. I think we figured it out. I don't think anything's going to happen to any of these people from the authorities. So, and that doesn't mean they're innocent. It doesn't mean that they don't deserve it. It just means that the structure that we have now established to bring us justice is no longer fit for purpose and should be destroyed. It is now actively working against its stated purpose of bringing justice to America. So, I think it has to be destroyed now. I really think that might be the only option at this point. So James O'Keefe barely escapes leftists in Minnesota as they hurl frozen water bottles. A Minneapolis mob of leftists hurled projectiles at James O'Keefe and the O'Keefe Media Group team on Saturday as they documented the ICE-involved shooting of Alex Pareti. My team and I are in downtown Minneapolis right now. We have undercover reporters inside the mob. I was at the scene of the shooting this morning and barely made it out alive. Hundreds surrounded us. They were throwing ice bottles, ripping off my bulletproof vest. They even followed us all the way back to our hotel. As all of this is happening, we received death threats via text. James said the leftists hurled frozen water bottles at them. And nothing's being done about it. So, again, we'll be joined by Nick Sortor in the next segment. So this church story, you know, I want to say, like, you know, if nothing is, but nothing's going to be done. Nothing's going to be done. So, okay, just, it's time to accept now that we're in a situation where next time, you know, maybe they'll kill a kid. Maybe they'll kill a parent who's trying to get to his kid, you know? Maybe they'll just burn the church down with you inside it. I mean, if they can do this and not face consequences, I don't think there is a limit to what they can do. So I guess we just need to accept that. We're basically just, this is it. Like, we're under tyranny. And, you know, maybe the rioters are right. You know, maybe screw it. Maybe let them burn it down. Maybe withdraw ICE. Like, there's... it's over, folks. I think America's over. When they can do that in a church and they don't even get arrested, I think that's it.
Harrison, Listen, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, that has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid. So, your life's going great.
Yeah.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish Sea Moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, folks. We are working on getting connected with Nick Sartor right now. Let's go ahead and go to clip number 22 here. CNN. I mean, I guess it doesn't matter. I mean, these people just say whatever the hell they want. And then the leftists believe them. And I don't know how to deal with that. I really don't know how to deal with a group of people who are so far removed from basic reality. Because what are you going to do? Convince them? What are you going to do? Talk to them? How are you going to talk to these people? Let's watch Was it Jake Tapper? Clip 22 here. CNN aired a liberal claiming ISIS on the verge of putting people in ovens to execute them. Why would we need ovens? We have so many bullets. Let's watch.
I understand that, but they take people to Fort Snelling here, which literally was built as a concentration camp, and Alligator Alcatraz, which I think we can all agree is a concentration camp. I'm not saying they're Dachau. I'm not saying they're putting people in ovens yet, but these are concentration camps.
Okay.
I don't need to argue with you about
that.
I don't need to argue with you about this. I don't need to argue with you about this. That's a great phrase. I'm going to start using that phrase, actually. I love that. That's a great tactic. You just say something that is batshit insane, utterly fake, and then you go, look, I don't need to argue with you about this, okay? Look, the grocery store is a concentration camp, okay? Look, I don't need to argue with you about this, all right? I'm just going to assert something that's just utterly factually wrong, and then, look, I don't need to argue with you about this, okay? It's a concentration camp. What do you think a concentration camp is? Like, what do these people think? It's like the word due process. Do they even know what the word means? A concentration camp is just any location where people are held. So every prison is a concentration camp. I mean, every school is a concentration camp, right? You're compelled by law to go there. I guess you can go home. They're not putting in people, they're not burning people to death in ovens yet. Okay. Well, you let us know when it gets to that point. You give us a call. We'll hop right on it. Yeah, no. They're called holding facilities. They're a necessity because you absolute freaks let in tens of millions of people in 4 years and then spread them all over the United States in your own concentration camps, which are actually like little militarized colonies inside of American cities. Why we can't use those to house the people, even though we used them to house people when they were coming in. We can't use them when they're going out. I don't know why. But I don't feel sorry for any of these people. Every single illegal immigrant being arrested could have had $3,000 and a free flight back home, but chose instead to force ICE to come get them. So just no pity. No pity for any of these people. They've all done this completely to themselves. And again, where the left is getting these ideas, God only knows. Let's go to the next one. Clip 27, a Minnesota healthcare worker claimed that ICE is dumping people naked in the woods. Okay, let's watch.
Safe Haven is here to get people who are being picked up like that person.
Yes.
So the people that are injured really badly, or maybe other people too, we don't know how many people, are being taken out into the woods around the Whipple and released in the middle of the night, sometimes with no clothes, always with no phone, if they're brown, with no ID. And it's a death sentence. One of the people had a cracked skull that's been treated. So they're taking the people that they don't want us to know about and they're dropping them in the woods, which I've heard is something that they've been doing with Native Americans for a long time, and we're just continuing that tradition. But that is sickening me right now.
Like, we're supposed to take this seriously? She's just making things up. Now, I don't know if somebody told her this and she believed them. Like, anybody else think, like, this is probably how the Holocaust happened? Like, I mean, not that we're, like, headed down the road towards a real Holocaust, not that we're actually going to start burning people, but, like, do you think, you know, maybe everything was demented like this back then? That's what I'm wondering. Where it's like, they were having people being eaten by bears. They were being made into lampshades. And it's like, do you actually believe this, or are you just making this up? Because this is not true. This did not happen. This obviously didn't happen for a million different reasons. But would you be surprised if you went 100 years into the future and saw that your history books were teaching that ICE were kidnapping every brown person they could see, dropping them in the woods for them to freeze to death? and that if you question that, you're, you know, anti-Semitic and can't have a job anymore? Like, would you be surprised if these lies became, you know, the retroactive justification for what they certainly intend to do to us if they ever get power? She's not kidding. She wasn't joking. She either is making this up and thinks she can trick people, and she's right that she could, or she's an idiot that believed somebody else telling her it and then spread it, you know, herself. But again, these people are, they just, their entire worldview, their every belief is upheld by just a huge variety of absolute crazy insanity. I mean, I don't want to just make the same joke over and over, but like, would it be any less absurd for that woman to claim that immigrants were being fed to Bigfoot? I mean, you might as well. In all seriousness, you know, they're picking up brown people and feeding them to the Yeti, to Bigfoot, to the man ape. Yeah, he's real, and he's working with ICE. And we're supposed to sit here and try to convince them that he's not, or what? What are we doing? Again, I really am at a complete loss when they are just flagrantly making absolutely everything up constantly. It's just crazy. It's beyond crazy. Looks like we have time for this. Let's go to clip 36 here. Shifting up topics a little bit, but this video's gone absolutely viral, and I haven't actually had a chance to watch it yet, so I'm going to watch it with you all and comment on it. And I think this does go to explaining at least part of the underlying psychology behind why so many people in America are so ready to take the sides of criminals, rapists, murderers, and psychopaths. And it's because they're women. Let's watch.
There was a study done where men and women were hooked up to brain scanners as they watched people play a game. They got to see whether the people playing the game were playing fairly or whether they were cheating at the game. And the people playing were connected to electric shock machines. So electric shocks would go into these people as they were playing, and they would measure the brains of the men and women watching. So every time a player that was playing fairly got an electric shock, both men and women's empathy centers lit up. Whenever an electric shock would go into a person that was cheating, women's empathy centers lit up just the same as with the fair playing person, but men's empathy centers did not light up at all. Actually, their pleasure center lit up. Super key psychological distinction between men and women.
Yeah, that's like mind blowing. So again, this was not an opinion survey. This was not something that asked people to express whether or not they felt sympathy. This scanned people's brains to determine how they felt at a particular moment. Because I have a feeling if you were to like ask these people, who'd you feel sympathy for? If you said, did you feel sympathy when the person who cheated got shocked? They'd say, oh, no, he deserved it. But that's not true. No, they scanned the brains and found a distinct split. Wasn't like there was crossover. All of the men wanted bad deeds to be punished, and all of the women felt sympathy for the cheater when they were punished for cheating. To me, that's like wild. That is so profound. Again, you sort of know it, but like to hear it explained like this, anterior insular cortex and anterior cingulate cortex pain centers activate in observers. So again, to reiterate what she said, they had an experiment where innocent people and cheaters were both shocked as punishment. Both men and women felt empathy for people, felt bad, shared the pain of people who were incorrectly punished, who were given an electric shock even though they hadn't done anything wrong. But when somebody who had done something wrong had earned and deserved their punishment, women still felt empathy and sympathy for them. That's dysfunctional, you understand. That's something that is wrong and it shouldn't be that way. Now, obviously, it is that way for a reason. God made women that way because it's probably necessary for dealing with children. In fact, it's like certainly it. Empathy is a key component. It's like the number one difference. And not that men can't empathize with kids, but we're a lot less likely to. And I've talked about this forever because I've just seen it in my own life so much. And I haven't told the story in a long time, but a year before I worked at InfoWars, I was at a concert with some friends, and this girl came up to us and she was completely out of her mind on drugs and had lost her friends and was like freaking out and panicking. And I remember it was such a like poignant moment for me because my response was to be like, lady, you're fine. To be like, look, you're safe, right? You know, nobody here is trying to hurt you. Like, you're fine. You'll probably find your friends later, right? Just be like, hey, logically, you're fine. Think about it for a second. Okay. I know you're on drugs, but like, chill. Like, that is obviously the wrong way to approach it. But that was my approach, is to be like, I'm going to explain to this girl why she shouldn't be scared. That's not the right way to do it. Adults on drugs, a lot like children. And the girl I was with, my friend Haley, was just actually like, empathized with her, got on her level. And was just like, well, maybe, you know, this is what was meant to happen. You lost your old friends, now you found new friends. And now we'll be your friends and you're in our group. And it worked. And the girl was like, yo, you're right. Like, hey, you guys are pretty cool. And it was just so, I was like, okay. That was so much more clearly the right response. Even though to me, I'm like, look, lady, you're fine. Chill. Such a wrong response. And the exact same thing happens with kids. Kids are misbehaving or freaking out. It's my response. And I imagine it's sort of the more male response to be like, would you chill for a second, please? Come on, think about it for a second. If you want the piece of cake, do you really think screaming's the way to get it? And like, does that work? Absolutely not. No. Constantly defeated by my children's lack of logic. It's infuriating. But women are very capable of, you know, sinking their emotions to the kids and understanding why they're upset and getting them to calm down. Again, so it's not even to say that like, women are defective overall. Obviously, there's an important reason why women's brains are designed this way. And women's brains are designed this way. Can't debate that at this point. But you have to be able to recognize a misapplication of empathy. When somebody cheats, they deserve to be punished. Is this a complicated idea to express? Is this really something you need to like indoctrinate people into? I guess it is. Again, it's just such a profound thing, I have to say. It is just such a deep-seated foundational cause of so much of what we see go on. Can people really not like overcome their initial visceral reaction and apply logic? And it's not like these people saw people being punished and didn't know if they were guilty or not, so sort of felt sympathy with them off the off chance that they were innocent. Gee, wouldn't that suck to be punished if you were innocent? No, they knew they were guilty. They were absolutely sure they had cheated and therefore deserved the punishment. They still felt bad for them. And actually, this is kind of a defect, honestly. Because one of the psychological realities of human beings is when somebody is punished in public, like one of the reasons they would do like public floggings back in the day is because there's something in human psychology that makes you want to separate yourself from somebody experiencing pain. And so you actually become less sympathetic to somebody when they're being punished for something that they deserve, or at least that's the way it's supposed to go. I don't know. Maybe it's different with women. But that was part of, you know, the psychological value of like punishing people and like whipping people in public. Is because even subconsciously, people go, ooh, that guy's not my friend. I don't want to do what he's doing. I don't want to be involved with him. He's in a lot of pain. And so they separate themselves from them and stop feeling sympathy with them. Apparently, that's not the case with women. It's very strange. It's very odd, isn't it? But I think it explains a lot. Now, and this story is another one where when you read it, Again, I really don't know what to do at this point. Federal judge tosses out DOJ lawsuit seeking Georgia voter rolls. So, like, let's not make any mistake. In 2020, the state of Georgia was stolen for the Democrats. And the way they stole Georgia was done right out in the open, and it's on video. I mean, really, it's not even a debate at this point. It's also been proven that Georgia had hundreds of thousands of people on their voter rolls that shouldn't have been on there. Georgia was won by 11,000 votes, apparently. But again, we have the video of them cheating. We have the timeline of exactly how they did it, telling everybody to go home, making up the thing about the water pipe, and then hundreds of thousands of Joe Biden votes without a single Trump one, reversing the victor overnight. And as our federal government attempts to investigate this, you now have judges dismissing U.S. Department of Justice lawsuits against Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, placing another roadblock in the path of Trump administration's ongoing efforts to obtain sensitive voter information from states across the U.S. Georgia is now one of at least three states in which federal judges have dismissed lawsuits seeking sensitive voter information. The lawsuit was filed in December, with the Department of Justice arguing that Georgia's unredacted voter registration lift was needed as part of an ongoing investigation into Georgia's compliance with federal election law. Earlier this week, the attorneys for the Secretary of State's office filed a motion requesting that the Georgia case be dismissed, arguing that the Justice Department had exceeded its authority in requesting the records, that it lacked the jurisdiction to sue, and that the Macon-based court in which the case was filed was in the wrong venue. In Friday's ruling, Judge C. Ashley Royal sided with the Secretary of State, writing in his order that the Macon-based court lacked jurisdiction over the case because the Attorney General's demand was not made and the demanded records are not located in the Middle District of Georgia. So, yeah, I mean, are we ever going to get justice for anything, I think, is the question. And it's not about needing immediate answers right now. It's the fact that we are not moving in that direction at all. And if you wanted to, like, track out each different, you know, you could have, like, a bar graph of each scandal. And ideally, that bar graph would be slowly but surely growing, right? You'd start with the claims. Then you'd investigate the claims. You'd gather evidence. You'd get indictments. You'd try those. Like, you would have steps along the way. We are not at step one for any of these. I guess if step one is, you know, the revelation of the evidence, you know, the claims being made, then sure, okay. We've done one. We've done one step, but we've gotten no other justice for anything. Nick Sortor joins me now. Nick, thank you so much for joining us. How are you, sir?
I'm pissed. I'm pissed, man. I have been, let me just riff here for a second. I have been in Minneapolis I spent 3.5 weeks in Minneapolis I don't know how else to put it, right? Like putting my life on the line. There are lots of other reporters out there doing the same exact thing, you know, trying to fight the left on this because the left, you know, they're trying to force us out and set an example for all these other blue cities all across the United States to say, look, if we riot in the streets and we burn things down and we try to kill ICE agents and Border Patrol agents, that we'll win, right? And now it looks like they're getting their way. And I take no pleasure in saying that. And I kind of knew that we were going to get to this point after President Trump, after I was out there, and it's not just about me. I keep saying I, but the reason I say I is because I'm the only person that recorded this. When for 2 hours, rioters in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area were able to loot and destroy FBI vehicles, including automatic rifles, select fire rifles, out of the back of those cruisers. And then Trump went on TV the next day saying, oh, you know what? No, I haven't seen any reason for any insurrection act. 2 hours they were able to do this because that's how long it took them to get into the weapons safe. Now, I love President Trump. He has been very supportive of my work. He has been, you know, like somebody that I believe has the best interest of the country at heart, but you're like, okay, some of these advisors that are telling him, oh no, everything's under control, no problem, because they're looking at poll numbers that are going to be skewed based on, first of all, who is taking the poll, and secondly, if you poll like MAGA Republicans, America First Republicans even, they're going to tell you, if you ask them the question, do you approve of the job that ICE is doing? Many of them are going to say no, because we were promised mass deportations, and that's not what we're seeing right now. You keep seeing, Harrison, worst of the worst, that term being thrown out there. What worst of the worst means is essentially, and I'm sorry to put it this way, I'm here to give you the hard truth, you can unfollow me if you want to, worst of the worst means amnesty for everybody else. That's what it means. And there's no way for me to sugarcoat that. And I am sounding the alarm at this point, okay? Saying worst of the worst and removing Commander Greg Bovino, who is, you know, I'm going to spill the beans right here. This is an exclusive for InfoWars. What Bovino was doing was he was avenging the Border Patrol agents that were out there every single day at the border that were forced to not be Border Patrol under Joe Biden, but be Uber Patrol. Uber Patrol being, okay, yeah, we'll pick you up at the border and we'll drive you to whatever town in the country you want to be at. So when you saw these videos of Bovino walking up to people and taking pictures of them with his phone, what he was doing was he was cross-referencing that with a database of people that were these millions and millions of illegals that were brought into the country under Joe Biden. Okay? Millions of people that may not have they may not have raped a child yet, but could potentially do so because we don't know who they are and they're not here legally. So when he was doing that, when you see those videos of him going up and taking a picture of somebody, he was cross-referencing that with a database because he wanted to remove anybody that came into this country under Joe Biden that shouldn't have been allowed in because they didn't come in legally. And so they removed him from his position now because the poll numbers don't look good. Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't defend it, Harrison. I can't.
I can't either, and I don't expect you to. It is just infuriating. And then reading about the full account of what happened in the church and that nobody from that has been arrested, I don't know what to do next, Nick, because the Trump administration is failing on every front as far as I'm concerned. And it frankly just feels like pathetic to keep begging this administration for something they clearly have no interest in doing. Although Pam Bondi did write a very strongly worded letter, I heard. So that's good, right?
Yeah, like, you know what? Like, I don't even care. Like, if I don't see anybody in handcuffs, I don't even care. That's noise to me. I never even posted about that because it's like, yeah, it's whatever. But like, I can't. Yeah, I'm sorry, but like, what am I doing? Why am I out and going out head to head with these people? I know that I'm not going to get any support. If they hold a gun to my head on the ground, like, you know, they'll probably just, you know, blow my brains out because there's nobody that's going to come and help me. And why am I doing that if we're just going to back down to Tim Walz and Mayor Frey? You look at the stuff today being like, oh, well, we had productive phone calls. Well, that's because, like, they see this as caving. There's no other way for me to put it, man.
Yeah, we got to talk for longer, Nick. I'd love to have you on later this week. You're exactly right. I feel your frustration. I know a lot of our audience does as well. Nick Sortor on X.
I reckon a lot of you know I've been on the air for a long time, and we've done quite a few things here. And I've had a lot of different ways that I tried to continue on our mission. So I want to tell you about a begging right here. This is a limited edition knife. We just came out with it a couple days ago. And well, some people call it a sling blade. I call it a Kaiser blade. But you need something to take care of yourself or your family and protect you, I think this will do it. It's an important remake, updated World War II trench knife, double-edged stainless steel, razor sharp. Life is fiery with its beauty. It's got a nice little pin-up girl there right there on it. Mm-hmm. So I reckon this is just about as good as you're going to get as some fried taters and biscuits and mustard. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get one of these before they sell out with the murdered out brass knuckles and skull crusher. Then I reckon you better get on over to thealexjonesstore.com while the getting's good. And I appreciate you keeping us on the air in our mission. I call it a Kaiser Blade. And it's a limited edition right now. But all I know is the globalists shouldn't have done what they did to that boy, what Epstein did. So all I can say is they're going to have the Lord to deal with, but limited edition, almost sold out. I just know you want this knife. It's selling out quick. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And I thank you for your support.